and for all. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, the Smoking Solution System is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Two car bombs have shaken the northern Iraqi cities of Aqaba and Mosul, killing at least 14 Iraqis and one U.S. soldier. At least 126 people have been wounded, including 10 U.S. soldiers. First blast occurred outside Forward Operating Base Warhorse, a U.S. outpost at a former Iraqi Air Force base, 30 miles north of Baghdad. That explosion killed at least four Iraqis and one American soldier. 16 Iraqis and 10 American soldiers were wounded. Military says a car bomb also exploded in Mosul, killing 10 people and wounding 100. The blast hurled body parts into the street and set 9 vehicles on fire. Witnesses saw 3 suicide bombers in an orange and white taxi. White House is predicting approval soon on a new Iraq resolution at the United Nations. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice says she expects an accord within a couple of days. She spoke to reporters that the G8 leaders began arriving for the summit in Sea Island, Georgia. President Bush is doing some walkthroughs and getting briefings from aides on the meetings, which begin tomorrow. Rice says Iraq will be part of a crowded agenda, that is, that included talks on trade, aid, the war on terrorism, and Bush's initiative to bring democracy to the wider Middle East. Iraq's new president will join in the meeting on that initiative. The UN resolution would endorse the handover of sovereignty in 3 weeks and authorize a multinational security force. French and other diplomats have objected that a U.S. draft doesn't give the Iraqis enough power over foreign troops in their country. In a related development, Iraq's prime minister has announced an agreement by 9 political parties to dissolve their militias, integrating some of their 102,000 fighters into our army and police, and pensioning off the rest to strengthen government control ahead of the transfer of power. Plans stop short of including the most important militia, the one belonging to radical Shiite Muslim Muqtada al-Sadr. There are also smaller groups that have not been considered in the agreement. Despite this, the announcement yesterday by Prime Minister Iyad al-Alawi has been considered a significant step toward extending the control of the central government. The agreement, if it works, could significantly lessen the chances of full-blown civil war. The Group 8 summit formally gets underway later today on St. Simon's Island, Georgia. President Bush arrived amid the tightest of security, with military aircraft overhead and gunboats cruising along the historic riverfront. Thousands of police officers and National Guardsmen have patrolled the area surrounding the meeting site. American government officials have said the summit could be one of several high-profile U.S. events targeted this summer by al-Qaeda terrorists. Any protest linked to the gathering is expected to be low-key. And a plan has been discussed for a number of months now, but it appears that the United States military is serious about a troop withdrawal from the last frontier of the Cold War, the Korean Peninsula. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, crowd, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Oh, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600. Or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
I just wanted to complain about a comment you made yesterday.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
When the General Chief of Staff of the Army said we needed more than 100,000 troops over there, he was right. They made them retire early because that was not the answer that they needed.
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
They're brainwashed by the right-wing media that says that Kerry can't protect the country.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today is day two in Reagan deification week, and we have a respectful edition of the presidential palm pilot and a somber, appropriate version of the liberal agenda. Yeah, right. But right now I'm joined by Mike. Hey, Mike.
Mike
Riley.
That's
Mark.
Another show, Mike and Mike.
Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott has returned from the bed.
Three days in bed.
Feeling better?
Yeah, they were all alone those 3 days.
Ah.
I cannot.
When did your husband leave?
I cannot take it anymore. I can't take it. There is no liberal media. You know, if there was, it's been obliterated now. I mean, that's just what the media needed, is a reason to make the collective unconscious Republican for an entire week. Now, out of respect for his family, I'm sad that the guy, you know, died of Alzheimer's. He was old and he died. But, I mean, come on. The only good thing about this whole, you know, Reagan stroke fest, posthumous stroke fest, is that it really makes Bush look small, doesn't it? Like this
it
guy
kind of sort of does, yeah.
And they, you know, they're trying to compare him to Bush, but you know, Bush is much worse than Reagan, and Reagan was really pretty bad. And you know, the only good thing that came out of Reagan's presidency, I think, was the L.A. punk scene. You know, without Reagan's presidency, we wouldn't have Black Flag, Naked Ray Gun, Wasted Youth, Jodie Foster's Army. We wouldn't have any of those bands if it weren't for Reagan. But outside of that, you know, he wasn't, you know, a very great president. I'm sorry to disappoint everybody. And I want to thank all of you people out there for the hundreds of emails of support for our coverage of the media onslaught of
you mean the trash fest yesterday?
Dead Reagan. Yeah, well, no, and there was no trash fest.
I know.
Unbelievable amount of supportive email that were just thanking us because apparently NPR, you know, just also did a day-long stroke fest of Reagan without any objectivity whatsoever. You know, it's one thing to respect a guy, you know, his death and to be appropriate in that terms, but, you know, just to, like, you know, to, I mean, there's been no, it's, no one's being critical. They're only remembering, you know, whatever good things there are, and that, you know, I don't know really what they were.
But you know what? There's one good thing that's coming out of it.
Yes.
You know what it is?
What's that?
The Republicans are now nervous that Reagan is being so deified that he's going to really make Bush look like a complete
right, exactly. I mean, yeah. And I believe that's happening. And the Democrats are nervous for the other way.
For the other way,
but
yes.
I don't think it's going to go that way. But out of all the hundreds of, you know, wonderful emails we got for, you know, thanking us on our coverage yesterday, I want to read this one.
Because you've chosen to focus on the bio.
No, this is an important email to read because we've won a listener.
Okay.
Okay. Why don't you folks just humble yourself? I'd be embarrassed if I were you. Our entire office personnel is disgusted with you people. One fella asked me if that was the Communist Network out of New York. I told him that it was the leftist fringe of the Democrat Party just shaming themselves out of business. We listen to see what you will have to say next. It's always poison to the soul. Well, you know, thank you for listening. And you're exactly the type of people we're reaching out to.
That's right.
And we certainly are excited to have the opportunity to poison your soul on a daily basis.
And I, for one, am humble and embarrassed.
Very.
Very. Very much.
I thought we did a great service yesterday, only in the sense, you know, that it was important to reflect in an honest way about how other people feel. You know, they're just trying to put this, you know, this blanket sort of like, you know, commitment to the legacy.
Yeah, like you're an American, you must love Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I got a whole brain full of dead Reagan that I didn't ask for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't Reagan's passing, though, a bit like kind of daddy dying? I mean, he had the same role in America.
Not my dad.
He had the same role in America that Margaret Thatcher had in Britain, which was, you know, he was America's daddy at the same time that Margaret Thatcher was Britain's mommy.
Well, I'll tell you, and he wasn't. I never looked at him as my pops. His positions on South Africa and the African National Congress precluded me ever thinking of him as family. Let's just put it that way.
But
in
the same way that when people have had this kind of love-hate thing with a parent when they die, that there's always this sort of outpouring of positive feeling, and that, you know, why we miss him, why that person was great, why that parent who we, you know, never went home to, you know, disagree with every single conversation at the dinner table, loathe being in the same room as, but yet at when you show up at the funeral, everybody's being nice. Isn't that the same thing with a national leader?
I don't know.
Not for me. I lost both my parents, and I never had that experience. I had a really great, I thought, a great relationship with both of them and was truly saddened when they both passed. So Reagan, on that level, I don't relate.
All I know is that the Republicans are trying to politicize this as best they can, and they're actually, I heard, trying to amend the Constitution to allow two-term dead presidents to run for office. I'm thinking that, like, maybe Cheney's out and the corpse of Reagan is in for the 2004 ticket.
He's lying in state now, is he not?
Yeah, he's lying in state now. In the Reagan Library.
Yeah, Simi Valley.
Yeah.
Where they acquitted the cops that beat Rodney King.
And then, actually, he's doing a tour of the country. He's going to be in the Capitol laying in state as well. And if you want to pay your respects to President Reagan, you can go to the Simi Library or the Capitol.
Or the Capitol, yeah. Well, you know, they did that with Lincoln. They had a train that ran, I believe, from Washington to Illinois after he was assassinated.
They did it with King Tut, too, many years ago. They toured the country with King Tut and, like, all the stuff from the tomb.
But, yeah, I remember. It was here at the museum, right? At the Museum of Natural History. I don't know.
They could do it with Reagan, have the little hair gel and the combs.
I was surprised when I heard there was going to be this tour across country, and then basically the tour is you take off on one side of the country and you land on the other. That's not much of a tour, is it? And basically, if you're in the middle, you get to watch it on TV. It's a TV respect thing. It's not, you know, there people will not be kind of lining the streets in the same way they were during the Lincoln.
No, they are lining the streets. I mean, people,
they're not bringing the coffin through.
65,000 people are expected to go through the Reagan Library. And I imagine the Capitol is even going to be a bigger...
I mean, they'll do the same kind of thing that they did with Kennedy with a funeral cortege that goes, I'm sure, through the middle of Washington.
But there's no denying that people loved and respected this guy, you know. And there, you know, for them, there were reasons to love and respect this guy. And I'm not trying to disrespect him in death, but, you know, as a president, he was not my president.
No, he wasn't my favorite president. I mean, I've heard people, a couple of whose opinions I actually respect, kind of fawning over the guy. And that, hey, we're all Americans. That's all right.
Yeah, and also yesterday was specifically to address, you know, the other side. I mean, there is not, you know, maybe, you know, after things settle down, there might be some commentary, there might be some criticism. But, I mean, literally, if someone were on TV and began to say something negative about Reagan, yeah, I'm sure they would go, wait, are we talking about the same guy here?
You remember Colin Powell's handler? And meet the press when...
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
exactly what would happen the first time somebody said something negative. But, you know, there are other things going on in the world.
Yeah,
and
not according to
according to American television. But, you know, there are... and for people, Americans or Westerners or foreigners who are in Saudi Arabia, this is not a great time. You probably, and particularly if you have a flight in or out.
That great.
Yeah, yeah. Its authenticity has not yet been confirmed, but there's an internet statement signed by a purported Al-Qaeda cell warning about a possible attack in Saudi Arabia, which they will not call Saudi Arabia, by the way. They call it the Arabian Peninsula. As a matter of fact, they call it the cell, the Al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula, because they don't recognize the House of Saud.
There's some extreme Orthodox Jews that call Israel Palestine
because
they refuse to acknowledge the state of Israel.
Well, this cell says in this statement that it will target Western airlines, military bases, and residential compounds, and it told Muslims to stay away from Westerners. Now, there were reports that, you know, that the situation in Khobar on the 29th of May, which was like over a week ago, when 22 people were killed by gunmen, apparently there are reports that those gunmen tried to separate out Muslims and foreigners because they had come under criticism for some of the previous bombings and attacks in actually killing Muslims. So they tried to separate the Muslims and killed the non-Muslims but let the Muslims live.
I wonder how many people were like, you're a Muslim? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Muslim.
Yeah. Well, there was an attack on Sunday that killed an Irish cameraman and wounded a BBC reporter.
He's under armed guard. He's under armed guard in hospital.
The reporter?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the statement says, and this is a direct quote, "This enemy must be fought. There is no other way but to fight it and eradicate it," unquote.
Who said that?
The statement from this purported Al-Qaeda cell.
Wow.
So, you know, these folks are not playing. And they're talking about the Arabian Peninsula. They're talking about targeting Western airlines. But, you know, that could very easily spread well beyond what they call the Arabian Peninsula. And, of course, there are also concerns about terror on the high seas. The security minister of Singapore, and to be honest with you, I didn't know they had one, but they do, says there's a growing risk of piracy on the high seas as a prelude to a terror attack. Apparently, just like, you know, there were people, the 9/11 hijackers came to this country and learned how to fly. Tony Tan, who's the security minister of Singapore, says that there's a fear that militants will commandeer ships that contain either natural gas or chemicals or some other explosives and use it as a floating bomb. And apparently he's nervous that there have been several attempts to, in essence, hijack ships in and around Singapore with an eye toward people learning how to pilot them.
So they're not going to take boat lessons. They're just going to steal ships.
They're just going to steal ships, yeah. And see, the thing is, people have, I guess up until now, seen this as simple piracy, just people trying to commandeer. But now there's a fear that these people are, in fact, the same kind of terrorists that were involved in the bombing in Bali and some of the other places in southern Asia.
Wow.
So that's something to get real nervous about.
So we're not quite winning the war on terror yet. Or as Donald Rumsfeld said the other day, it's quite clear to me that we do not have a coherent approach to this.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. And, you know, as you pointed out many times before, there are, what, 18,000?
Terrorists.
New terrorists.
And more each day as Iraq produces and encourages more terrorism.
Yeah.
That were not there before.
But that says maybe, but, you know, it's hard to get so worried about ships over in Singapore. I mean, that's always been a concern in Asia. Piracy has always been a big thing in those seas over in Southeast Asia. But a ship does not move as fast as a jumbo airline.
Well, no, it may not move as fast, but if nobody thinks there's anything on it, it doesn't matter how fast it moves, it'll just blow up.
They're being tracked.
Huh?
They're being tracked.
Still ahead.
Yeah, but not in Newark.
The President's Bomb Pilot Bus will check in with some of the GA protesters right here on Air America Radio.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Twenty-one past the hour, morning sedition with Mark Maron, Mark Riley, and the recovering Sue Ellicott.
In recovery.
Wait a minute.
That's me.
Does that mean today's recovery corners for her?
No. Little Good Ink, New York Daily News. Today's New York Daily News about Air America Radio experience. Veteran Mark Riley stands out on Air America's morning show. He's comfortable with the medium, whereas some of the other hosts... I guess I don't have to read the bad part, do I? It's my choice.
Wait a minute.
He didn't say nothing about me.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Do I have to pay you for mentioning my name in a thing like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Mark Riley stands out on Air America's Morning Show. Mark Riley stands out on Air America. That's
sorry. That I have no more money left now.
That would be $20 that you owe me. Mark Riley stands out.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to thank the little people.
All right.
Speaking of little people.
$50.
Saddam Hussein. Can you imagine if they gave a trial and acquitted people. This guy?
Well, I guess that's what the concern is, which I find to be hilarious.
Well, and by the way, it's Matt Drudge's concern. Can you imagine this?
It says that they have that there's not enough evidence to prosecute Hussein because who's going to come forward and be a witness?
And rat him out.
The ones that aren't dead... are probably so afraid. That's the weird thing about this region is that how can democracy ever really take hold in a world where, you know, tribes hold so much power and that, you know, if a family's actually afraid, that it's not even bath sympathizers. It could be bath synthesizers. You know, they're... but it could be just somebody who is from another tribe that, you know, puts a hit out on somebody.
Yeah. By the way, this was by the Times of London. Matt Drudge just picked it up.
Frank Tantangeli can't even, you know, be a witness against Saddam Hussein. But they could. What's that?
If the prosecutors are struggling to build a case against Saddam Hussein because they lack both witnesses and evidence to prove that he's guilty of atrocities, doesn't that undermine the decision to go to war? Because presumably the Bush administration needed to have some kind of case against Saddam Hussein or some kind of evidence. I mean, not that they found any weapons of mass destruction, but they accused him of all sorts of atrocities. Surely on file somewhere, they must have some evidence?
You would think, but maybe this is one of Marc Maron's grand conspiracies. Maybe the end game here is to have him tried here in the States. And this is an easy way to do it.
I just don't think that is ever going to fly. I mean, given that we've tried to restore sovereignty to Iraq and give some kind of legitimacy to the sovereignty, and we're all aiming for the June 30th handover, there's no way they can bring Saddam Hussein to the United States to try him. That will just never work.
Which do you think would be worse, trying him here or acquitting him someplace else?
I just think giving the Iraqis some kind of control over what they want to do, and then if they want to put him away in a maximum security jail for the rest of his life, and that's okay with Iraq, then that is fine. That's what will happen to him. I don't think that U.S. can have really any say over what happens to Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, they're gonna keep Abu Ghraib open, and he'll be the only resident of Abu Ghraib. Like, who was that Nazi that was the one guy left in that prison?
Oh.
Was it Albert Speer? Or was it...
Was it Martin Bormann? I don't remember which one. There was one guy. Rudolf Hess?
Rudolf Hess, I think, yes. Rudolf Hess was the only guy. That's Hussein's just going to be the only guy in Abu Ghraib.
Yeah.
All alone.
He's in American custody now. They're going to have to do something with him.
We've got some lesser crimes they could bring him up on.
Okay.
One of his torture chambers extended 2 feet beyond the zoning variance. Before manufacturing anthrax, he failed to fill out anthrax form 104-26-B.
Oop.
Two words, illegal cable. Mean Oop. Anything to you people?
Lock him up.
Screams of torture victims after 11 p.m. violated noise ordinance. One of the vehicles used in the car bombings had expired plates. Would not turn off cell phone during public events.
Mm-hmm.
Health inspectors look at kitchen, find open containers of gazelle meat. Illegally downloading hundreds of Mark Anthony MP3s. And then, of course, possession of thousands and thousands of unregistered firearms.
You sure that wasn't J-Lo downloading all those Mark Anthony CDs?
J-Lo.
Now, you know, the Iranians want him, too. You know?
Yeah.
The Iranians actually are preparing a formal complaint against Saddam Hussein for the torture of Iranian prisoners during the Iran-Iraq war. Now, there's not, I don't think, much of a likelihood that they're going to turn him over to the Iranians, because I'm not sure that they would actually let him live for very long.
Maybe they should just let him out, you know, release him into the desert and let whoever gets him, gets him. Just make it like a reality show. You know, Hussein, run.
Yeah, there was a movie that was done about something like that, where they let a guy out and had people chasing him down. I forgot that. I think Ice-T was in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was Dumbo.
Oh, wow. I might have been Surviving. I don't know. I just know that there was one movie I remember that was...
There was a reality show where there was sort of this global search for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
the WMD global search reality
kinda,
show.
Kind of like that.
Now, Saddam has a 20-person defense team. Can you imagine that?
Where's that money coming from?
I don't know.
I mean, he must have some money stashed somewhere. 20-person defense team?
They have a 20-person defense team. They've been appointed by Saddam's family. Can you imagine somebody calling, hi, this is so-and-so Hussein. You have been appointed to be one of Saddam's defense counsel.
Are any of them any of these sort of star legal guys from America? There's got to be an American lawyer.
I don't know about that.
I guess it wouldn't be great publicity.
But, you know, they're complaining about the same kind of thing that Jose Padilla's lawyer complained about. They haven't been able to meet with their client. They say that Saddam is being held in breach of the Geneva Convention.
No, if anybody is being held absolutely to the letter of the Geneva Convention, it's Saddam Hussein.
I know.
Sorry, they're not going to do anything. He's probably, you know, he'll have the best food, the best conditions. No way.
Where do you think he is, by the way?
I have no idea, but apparently he sort of explodes. He has moments of tirades where it's like, I'm still ruler!
Yeah, I'm in charge.
He sort of looks glazed and sits down and cries.
I thought he was somewhere outside Baghdad. I thought he was somewhere at an American military base.
Well, they say he's being held at an undisclosed location.
Okay.
Since he was captured in December. And you may be right. It may actually be a military base someplace. That's probably a logical place for him to be.
Or maybe they move him. Maybe they have to move him.
Like Howard Hughes?
So often. It's like changing your password.
No, yeah. I imagine they're like... It's probably more like a Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs. He's just in some sort of strange, hot-rotted prison cell that has massive, massive security.
But isn't his fate likely to come up as one of the big issues to talk about with the handover on June 30th and what the Iraqis get and what the Iraqis don't get and what the Americans have control over? I would think that would be one of the key things they would be discussing, the administration would be discussing with the new Iraqi leadership. Maybe even discussing at the G8 summit this week.
Yeah. Well, there's supposed to be an Iraqi tribunal to try him, but we'll see if that actually ends up taking place. Still to come, the Presidential Palm Pilot, a preview of the G8 Summit sedition style, and from the Streisand compound, the liberal agenda. This is Air America Radio.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Iraq is the scene of more violence this morning. Two car bombs rocked the northern Iraqi cities of Aqaba and Mosul, killing at least 14 Iraqis and one American soldier. Some 126 people have been wounded, in addition to 10 U.S. soldiers. Violence in the country continues to escalate some 3 weeks before the formal transfer of power. White House is predicting a quick approval on a new revised version of the American-backed Iraq resolution at the United Nations. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice says she anticipates an agreement within a couple of days. Egypt and Israel are meeting on a possible plan to have Egyptian security forces involved in Israel's proposed withdrawal from the Gaza Strip. And major changes are reportedly in the offing at the Central Intelligence Agency following the departure of George Tenet. Congress and September 11th Commission are coming up with a series of recommendations to overhaul the system. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Air America Radio merchandise on sale now at airamericaradio.com. airamericaradio.com. All your clothes suck, so buy ours. The Air America Radio thong. Classic, elegant, and just one of dozens of new items on sale now at airamericaradio.com. Wear your descent or just drink coffee from it. Air America Radio merchandise on sale now.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber in épée. You've got to see it. That's why Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You could win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at a Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Air America's Majority Report.
There is a new law as of 2002 called the Homeland Security Act of 2002.
The homeland for the 43rd Reich.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
Sam, do your gay Nazi again.
Bruce Ashcroft went out and he did his own warning with the FBI. And he wasn't supposed to because that's so unfatherland-like.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Yeah. 33 past the hour. Good morning. It's morning's edition. Mark Maron here. Mark Riley. Sue Ellicott.
Good day.
Back in the saddle. Got an email here. Keep up the honest coverage of the Reagan Stroke Fest. I heard this morning that Senator Mitch McConnell is proposing putting Reagan on the $10 bill. However, in honor of his economic policies, it will only be worth $2.85. Right now, it's time to kick into the presidential palm pilot, which was hacked into by my guy in the Oval Office. Here's the president's schedule for today. 8 a.m., wake up, stay on message. We don't need other countries to fix our mess in Iraq. We are giving them the opportunity to fix it. 8:30 a.m., prepare for G8 summit by writing on hand which world leaders goes with which country. 10:30 a.m., open keynote speech with 10 minutes of you might be a redneck if jokes, just to loosen everybody up. Use lunch break to rewrite Defense of Marriage Act so it excludes J-Lo. Double check with Cheney. At 2 p.m., double check with Cheney. We're still the most powerful country in the world, right? 5 p.m., take French and German leaders to favorite place on Georgia mainland. Barbecue, mechanical bull times. 7 p.m., end of first day of summit. Hand out gift baskets with hush puppies, dipping sauce, and I'm with stupid t-shirts. Lights out. Show Laura some tricks you'll learn from the French president.
Ooh la la.
10 p.m., sleep on couch. That's it for that. So the G8 summit's meeting up. We're going to talk to some G8 protesters, maybe, if we can get them on the phone. They're up.
Some troublemakers?
They're up sort of, you know, waxing their dreads.
Some seditionists?
Yeah, I hope so.
Some anarchists?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely for it. Let's,
how do they get there? It's supposed to be this sort of impenetrable place, Sea Island. Isn't that why they held it there? So it was all about, you know, not being able to be victims from terrorism and no one could afford to get over to Sea Island?
These dudes are in shape, man.
They paddled?
They could probably ride their bikes, man. That's how, you know,
they
these
just
guys
leave the mainland, they get a lot of speed, and then they hop over the sea.
Some of these GA protesters can fly.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Yeah, they are intense dudes. And the G8, as I understand it, is just a big meeting of a handful of modern industrial countries that divvy up the world.
Yeah. The United States.
They barter about stuff.
The United States, Russia, France, the UK, Italy, Germany, Japan, and Canada. The EU is represented, but they do not take part in political discussion.
I just love the fact that apparently the debt in Iraq is a big topic this year.
Yeah.
And Washington is pushing to cancel 80 to 90% of that debt. And Germany and France have so far been unwilling to go beyond 50%. So they're haggling. It's like, you know, owe me money.
Guess who's holding the most debt?
Who?
The French and the Germans.
Yeah,
that's
of course,
they want,
man.
Their money.
Billions of dollars.
It's that. It's about holding the debt, but it's also about saying that there are many other countries in the world who are, you know, poverty-stricken and need help, and we can't concentrate everything just because of politics on Iraq. That other countries, African nations and others, are just as deserving of debt relief. So they're making a moral issue as well as a financial one.
Washington is?
No,
or
France and
is?
Germany are trying to make a moral point about the debt relief to deserving world nations that is not focused on the politics of America's needs.
So they're saying we're willing to take the hit if you spread it out a little bit?
Yeah, well, just, you know, look at what's happened with Sudan over the last few months. Now suddenly it's a big issue that no one was really paying a great attention to. It's going to be, you know, on the agenda at G8. And, you know, many other countries look... take a bigger interest in African countries and, you know, issues of AIDS and poverty and famine and, yeah, genocide, to name a few of the small things that, yeah, you know, plague this world of ours. And they don't want the United States to just be so focused on Iraq.
So they want to spread the wealth.
Yes. They
or
want to spread the
cash
help.
Around.
Or spread
the
help.
Debt, one, yeah, or the other. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've always had a problem with G8. From a number of standpoints, not the least of which is Japan is the only non-white country represented.
Mm-hmm.
South America, a rather large continent when last I checked, is not represented. Africa is not represented. And in fact, they're having the Africans to lunch on Thursday.
You've had a problem
to lunch.
Ever since it was G7.
Yeah.
To lunch.
They're having them to lunch to discuss AIDS. Isn't that
lunch?
Wonderful?
Not,
yeah,
even dinner?
No, not even dinner. Lunch. Thursday afternoon lunch. They've got Mbeki from South Africa. They've got the heads of Mozambique, I believe, Algeria. I've got the list here somewhere.
That's
right.
You don't like KFC, do you, fellas?
Yeah, right.
We've only got a few minutes.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a tight schedule.
We have a little limited schedule. But, you know, people have been protesting against the G8 and these kinds of meetings for a long time. And Some people argue that the protesters are not focused enough on a specific set of issues. But globalization is one of the things. I mean, that's the essence of the protests against G8, is that they promote globalization, and many people across the world, including many in this country, feel globalization is a boon to corporations, but doom for individuals and doom for poor people in particular.
Well, they're afraid of the mollification of the world to where, you know, you rob any country of its indigenous charm or authenticity. And because of globalization and outsourcing, many people are going to be working under, you know, in inhumane conditions for ridiculously low wages. And it also depletes the resources of countries. I guess a lot of the big problem was that the IMF and the World Bank apparently go into countries, bail them out of debt, put them in debt.
Yeah. And tell them exactly and then, what they must do in order to get the money.
Which they can't, and they break their financial systems.
Yep.
So we'll be back. We're going to take your calls. We're going to take your calls on globalization, the G8, and, you know, that kind of stuff. 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Sedition at airamericaradio.com. We'll put you on the line. Give us a buzz.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
All right, people, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next, office supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper.
Looking for an easier way to afford the latest technology?
Sir, why aren't we just getting a Dell?
At DellRadio.com, you'll find great deals on PCs powered by highly reliable Intel processors. Get everything from notebooks and servers to printers and PDAs to complement your PC purchase. Everything you need in one place.
Water, however, will still be available for a nominal fee.
Right now at DellRadio.com, you can get a Dell Dimension desktop with an Intel Pentium 4 processor for just $389 after a 10% discount. Monitor not included. Taxes extra. Order select systems today and get up to 20% off and free 3 to 5 day shipping. DellRadio.com. Just one more thing that's easy as Dell.
Forty-two past the hour. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. Mark Riley is here. Sue Ellicott is back.
Hey.
We're taking your calls on globalization and the G8 at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We have Jim Rue on the line, who is a GA protester. Jim, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Nice to talk to you. You're down in Brunswick, Georgia?
That's where I am, yes.
How far are you from the island where it's going down?
Well, Brunswick is the town on the mainland.
Okay.
Then there's a causeway out to a number of islands, and Sea Island is the most isolated one out there. And, of course, none of us have access to get out to there. But most of the alternative demonstrators are here in Brunswick.
We were speculating as to how you were going to get out there. I put forth the idea that some of you guys can actually fly.
Well, the heads of state are flying in here from all over the world. And
yes.
This is somehow flying past everybody, but... No, there's no demonstrations right there in front of where the heads of state are, but we're doing constructive alternative things here. We have a Fair World Fair,
uh-huh.
which shows all kinds of ways to do things in a more sustainable. I'm just reading from the performance art stage.
Yeah.
Conflict resolution skills, exhibit area showcasing concerns of numerous citizens,
uh-huh.
film festival, food
uh-huh.
and demonstrations.
Yep.
There's also the other alternative, the other economic summit, which is really a conference of thinkers to talk about unacceptable costs of globalization and empire, steps to environmental and economic sustainability.
So you're running an alternative conference.
Right.
Okay, that's
so
pretty
rather than being out on the streets, we're actually talking about ways that globalization can actually help the poor of the world rather than just a few rich countries.
Two questions. You got any big names coming to your conference, and what do you guys really worked up about this year in terms of the G8?
Well, the main speaker at the other economic summit is Walter Wink, a well-known theologian.
Okay.
Well, what we're trying to do is say that we're not just saying that globalization is bad. We obviously know that globalization is here. But it's got to be something that benefits the poor of the world. There are 1.2 billion people in this world that live under $1 a day. And the nations of the United Nations back in 2000 agreed on the global development goals,
yeah.
which was reduce poverty by 50%. Well, we're afraid that some of these leaders that are meeting here have kind of forgotten their promise to do that, and they seem to keep supporting the economic policies that only help the rich.
Uh-huh.
Jim, you sound certainly kind of very reasonable having your theologian Walter Wink come as a part of your alternative conference. But do you expect any kind of violent protest or really kind of angry demonstrations such as we've seen in past years?
I don't have nothing that I have seen in all the planning for this shows anything like that. Even the so-called anarchists, they're coming to do something they call the fix shit up. They're going to actually go out and help fix up some of the housing, very poor housing here in the Brunswick area. So they're looking for constructive ways to show their interest in alternatives rather than destructive ones. And so I don't have any even sense of whether great numbers of people are coming, but those that are coming are doing things in constructive ways.
But why the shift? Where's the anger this year?
Well, I can't answer on behalf of the anarchists, but I guess many of us see this as a good time for educating ourselves and hopefully some of the leaders on better alternatives.
And I guess we couldn't really expect you to say, yeah, there's some guys that are preparing to scale the wall of the meeting.
Well,
yeah, I mean, we wouldn't.
I don't know anything about that.
Of course you don't.
Jim, let me ask you this question. Sea Island, Georgia, is a pretty wealthy community. Brunswick, Georgia, on the other hand, is a relatively, from what I understand, a working-class town. How are Brunswick residents responding to the protesters?
Well, I know that a number of the local folks that had been involved in the planning for this, in fact, we had an interfaith service last night sort of kicked things off, and a number of them were involved in that. And they're looking for ways to, yes, to help in the world situation, but they also want people to pay more attention to what's going on in Brunswick. You talked about the wealthy. I'm just looking at some statistics here. The median household income here is $22,000, which works out to be a per capita income of $18,000 for whites and $10,000 for African Americans living here. And 60% of the residents of Brunswick are African Americans. So it's a very poor community, lots of pollution. There are toxic chemicals, sulfur dioxide, and but it's interesting, they turned off all these pollution sources during these few days that the world leaders would be here.
Hey, Jim, will you hold on? We're going to take a couple calls.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy. We got to we'll take your calls on the other side of this, I guess is what's happening. We'll be back. Stay on Air America. Keith, stay on the phone, you guys.
Mom, can you teach me the supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts, we know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Before you make another payment on your home, your car, or credit cards, you need to know what's really affecting your finances today. Hello, I'm Peter Bissonette, publisher of Abundance for Life. Our wealth-making system shows you the underlying cause of almost all financial problems and how to multiply your speed to prosperity. Now, you can get a free CD on eliminating financial problems and generate real wealth from the very first day. Call 1-800-900-4211. Stop thinking you can't be rich. Get the Abundance for Life system. Picture this: your debt, gone. Your home, paid in full. And your bank account overflowing with real wealth. Before you pay another bill, call 1-800-900-4211 to get your free CD on building personal wealth. But you must call today. These CDs are in heavy demand and can't be found anywhere else. Call 1-800-900-4211. That's 1-800-900-4211.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Tremendous. Morning tradition. I almost said. Hi, I'm here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Sue Ellicott is here. We're on Air America Radio. We're talking about the G8 Summit. We're talking about globalization. We just had Jim Rue is on the line if we need him. We got Mike in upstate New York. Mike, what's up?
Good morning, Hi. Gentlemen. How you doing?
How are you
good.
Doing?
Anarchists doing creative, cooperative things? What the hell? What is that all about?
We're gonna assume that there's things you can't tell us. You dig? We're sort of assuming that you...
Well, but by the way, he wasn't speaking for the anarchists.
Yeah, and also I don't think he could say, at 8 o'clock today, the anarchists will be performing some anarchy.
Why not?
Because...
I'd pay to see that. I know.
But you got to assume that the people that would stop that might be listening in.
No, I understand that, but it all sounds so tree-huggy, lovey-dovey. Where's the outrage?
Yeah. Well, I think...
Where's Burn, Baby, Burn? Come on.
They'll be there.
I think they left it in Seattle.
Well, hey, you know what? We're going to...
Let's do it again. I'll send a dollar if they'll buy a spine, okay?
Whoa, yeah, we're going to talk to Jim about that. Let him address that. Hey, Jim, right. You there?
Well, look, if you wanted to speak to an anarchist, you called the wrong person. I'm a 62-year-old white guy who actually works with globalization in international work.
No, I know.
I just am one of the organizers of this, but there's we just heard a little bit about what the people who call themselves anarchists may be doing, but I'm not the one to answer on their behalf.
We were kind of being a little lighthearted about it. We're not indicting you. We appreciate your input. We're going to take another call here. Rich in Yonkers. Rich?
Yeah, good morning. How
are
you doing?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, well, the reason I wanted to call you about globalization is I found a great article last night on www.takebackthemedia.com.
Yeah.
And I believe the title of it was called The Conservative Straw Man Exposed. And
okay.
The basic topic it argues is, with all the work going to India and China, you never hear on conservative talk shows how India and China protect their domestic industry with stiff tariffs. And okay. I think it's time we should start doing the same.
Okay, thanks for your call, Rich. He brings up a good point.
Yeah, the whole question of tariffs. Tariffs kind of went by the wayside in the 80s and 90s. When there was less protectionism. I mean, that was the whole thing about NAFTA. And part of what globalization is all about is really opening up markets so that people can sell things and consumers can pay less money. That's why we have so many Chinese TV sets that are being sold, TV sets, DVD players, and that
right.
sort of thing. There was a time that you couldn't do that, that those TV sets would have tariffs imposed so that their prices were much closer to the prices of American manufacturers.
I get it. So 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We've got Curtis in Brooklyn. Curtis, how are you?
Pretty good, thank you.
Okay. What's on your mind, man?
I understand that 1% of the population of the United States owns 40% of the wealth of the United States.
Right, and 30% of those 40% think they will be eventually one of the 1%.
Believe it or not, Brooklyn has manhole covers that are made in India, and some of them were made in China.
Hmm.
Manhole covers?
It says so in real big letters, about 4 inches high, made in India.
Oh, right, wow. On the manhole covers?
Talk about outsourcing.
Really?
Yep.
But it's interesting that they're, you know, that they label the manhole covers from where they're from. They're proud of their craftsmanship.
Yeah. I can imagine, like, you know, plane loads full of manhole covers coming over here from Bombay or someplace.
Well, that's another thing about the tariffs.
I think they ship them.
Yeah.
I'd like to do some exploration of that. Thanks for your call, Curtis. You know, I think we should – I want to learn a little bit about the tariffs thing. I feel a little uneducated. Maybe we'll ask Jim. Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
What do you know
I'm
about
not
tariffs?
I'm an expert on some manhole covers.
But what about tariffs? What about imposing tariffs? Would that help anything?
Well, actually, that's one of the problems, that we're supposedly doing away with tariffs, and yet the U.S. and European countries continue to subsidize their farmers, and that's one of the main things that keeps farmers in third world countries from being able to make a living.
Absolutely. That's why, you know, California has a massive rice crop, which is completely impractical.
Right.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, we got Bob in Vermont. Hey, Bob.
How you doing, Bob?
Doing fine. Yourselves?
Good.
Good. Pretty good.
I had two comments, actually, one on the war and the other on this fallacy of equal trade.
Right.
It's all about profit margin. I mean, big business has, you know, hasn't grown screw for the last couple of years. It's,
absolutely.
Basically, it's whoever I can get it to make it the cheapest. I don't care whether I sell it or not, basically, because if I don't sell it, I can still deduct it from my income taxes or laws anyway.
So
everything is just set up so they fall that way.
The bottom line is that they have no real concern for human beings in light of it's all about the profit margin.
Well, ever since corporations were given constitutional rights, I don't think that anything exists that way.
Right.
And I also have, if I might, I think we should stop referring to this as a war. It's a crusade. It's just that the Baptists have taken over for the Pope.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Uh-oh. See, yeah. See that you'll notice that Bush took the word crusade out of that whole thing that,
thanks for your call,
that he was talking about when he quoted Eisenhower.
Yeah.
When Eisenhower said a crusade.
The Great Crusade.
The Great Crusade. And Bush took the word crusade out of the dialogue specifically because he knows that the term crusades infuriates the Muslim world.
Yeah, well, it was smart for him to take it out, I guess, but he has said it before.
Yeah.
The interesting thing that Bob in Vermont said was that, you know, corporations, if they are treated as individuals constitutionally, they should be held to the same moral, you know, standards as individuals. And this is one of the, you know, great liberal arguments is that, oh, there's our
whoa.
Liberal agenda. I just did what some emails criticized me for doing. I interrupted myself in a serious point with the liberal agenda. I'll have to get back to that. Here it is from the Streisand compound. Today's liberal agenda, get your notebooks and pens. One, visit Reagan Library and slip Story of O into the stacks. Oh, might not be the day to do that. Maybe next week. Two, show solidarity with famine victims by living on focaccia bread and mineral water for a day. Three, make sure Tony Award winner puppets of Avenue Q are covered by AFTRA benefits. I got to check my benefits. Four words. Surgeon General Tommy Chong. Hello. Five, meet with Hell's Angels representative to discuss switching from leather to pleather. Please. You know what I mean? It's for the cows.
Mm.
Those are your marching orders for today. Do with them what you will.
We didn't get a chance to say goodbye to Jim, I don't think. But
well, bye, Jim. Thank you for being with us.
Appreciate it. He's a protester. He's down there at Sea Island. Well, actually, he's in Brunswick, Georgia.
A grown-up protest.
Looking at Sea Island.
Yeah, just down the causeway. But what a causeway. Oh, yeah. In the next hour of Morning's Edition, James Galbraith on Reaganomics, The Dream Diary, and terror threats in the air and on the high seas. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
Mark your calendar for the PetSmart Summer Carnival on Tuesday, May 4th. You won't find this fun-filled pet and parent event anywhere else. You'll love the fun games, cool prizes, tasty treats, and free stuff. Buy any size Science Diet dog food during the carnival event and receive a free dog toy up to a $3 value. Every pet at the carnival gets a free collectible collar charm. Don't miss the Summer Carnival, Tuesday, May 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. only at PetSmart. Sponsored by Science Diet. Free offers while supplies last. See store for details.
So you're lying there watching your soon-to-be first baby on the ultrasound monitor, and you're thinking you really have to start saving for a bigger house and college and... college? How are you going to pay for that? And then you relax, because you're not in this alone. See, your State Farm agent will be helping with things like life insurance and college savings plans. And then the nurse says, okay, finished. And you say, no, we want to keep watching.
Start planning with the State Farm agent you know from the company you trust. State Farm, providing insurance and financial services.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Just 3 weeks before the slated transfer of power in Iraq, more American soldiers have been wounded or killed on several fronts in the strife-torn country. Northern Iraqi cities of Aqaba and Mosul were no different than the last 24 hours. Car bombs claimed the lives of 14 Iraqis and one American. 126 Iraqis were wounded and 10 U.S. soldiers. Still unknown as the source of the bombing, despite ongoing efforts to stabilize the country, the violence continues to escalate. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice is confident that the revised American-backed Iraq resolution will be approved before the end of the week. Rice expressed confidence about the prospects of acceptance of the new PAC at the site of the G8 summit in Georgia. There had been a perception that Latino support for President Bush and the Republican Party was a slam dunk in the state of Florida. Bush in 2000 squeaked out a win against Democrat Al Gore by 537 votes, a count that is still disputed by some to this day. But Bush's greatest support in the state seemed to come from anti-Castro Cubans who backed Bush 4-1. Non-Cuban Latinos, in contrast, voted Democratic. Reports say Bush's support among Cubans is slipping. At issue, the war in Iraq and his policies towards Fidel Castro. Bush's brother Jeb is governor of the state and discounts the reported shift in support from Florida's fastest-growing and largest community.
Support carry? I don't believe it. This is like birds migrate in the winter south and they go back up north.
Florida Governor Jeb Bush trying to pour cold water, if you will, in the latest hot polling trends that Latinos, and particularly Cubans in Florida, are shifting their support to the Democratic Party and the candidacy of John Kerry. Plan has been discussed for a number of months now, but it appears that the United States military is serious about troop withdrawal from the last frontier of the Cold War, the Korean Peninsula. U.S. and South Korean officials have been gathered to discuss the details. The proposed withdrawal would affect some 12,500 troops. The planned U.S. troop reduction is seen as part of Washington's global effort to realign its forces so they can better respond to emergencies worldwide. Last week, the U.S. and German officials said the United States has yet to complete plans for any troop reductions from Germany. Both are still consulting with allies over its intention to fundamentally rearrange American forces around the world. In the related developments, soldiers from the 1st Army Division already are staying in Iraq 3 months longer than expected. Now the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff says he can't rule out keeping them there even longer. General Richard Myers says that's unlikely, but the military will do whatever is necessary. Soldiers from the division were to have begun returning to their home base in Germany in April, but had their tour extended because of a surge in violence in Iraq. And the nation's high court has removed the last legal roadblock to Mexican trucks rolling across U.S. roadways, siding with the Bush administration yesterday in a long-running dispute with labor union officials, environmentalists, and consumer advocates. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Welcome to our new building.
Wow. You guys must be hitting the big time. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. And I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to commit right now.
Listen, I've known you since you started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions.
True.
We had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped us with our new office and warehouse, and I stayed within budget.
Man.
It was half the cost of conventional construction,
half?
And it took half the time.
You mean this is a steel building? It looks great.
Well, the building I ordered from the general was engineered for our area and to fit our needs. Well, this building is actually the reason we're hitting the big time.
Call toll-free 1-888-39-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the general. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the general. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $55,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $120,000, call the general now for free information. 1-888-39-STEEL. That's 1-888-39-STEEL.
Admit it. You like things in life that are the best, like the best radio station, the best fishing holes, and of course, the best place to buy wireless phones, Radio Shack. Right now, get a great deal on a Motorola T730 color screen flip phone from Verizon Wireless at a new low price of just $39.99. You want the best? You found it at Radio Shack. Offer good with credit approval through 5/27. Requires two-year agreement with Verizon Wireless. $15 activation and $175 early termination fees apply to fails in store.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
So what else is news?
4 out of 5 doctors recommend that you listen to this show. Did you know that? Well, try and prove that it's false. Not easy, is it?
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
Now, imagine you have to refute more than 100 of those silly scientific claims a day. That's how many a reporter for Popular Science magazine estimates we encounter on an average day.
Marty Kaplan, evening 7 to 8 on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, the dead Reagan craze continues. President Bush prepares for the G8 meeting, but will take him to recovery corner so he doesn't raise a glass tonight. Plus, is Bush the new Reagan, or is he more like the old Reagan? That's coming up. Right now, I'm joined by Mark Riley. Sue Ellicott is here today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, man? So we were talking yesterday about this whole deification or the whole media attention on Reagan and whether or not he was really, you know, a great president. You know, and it really, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about it later in the hour, but he wasn't necessarily a great president. And in some ways, he set the stage for a lot of what's going on now in Iraq. That's true, yes?
Yes, that's true. But see, sometimes geniality can cover for lack of competence.
Geniality and good jokes.
Yeah.
Everybody loved that guy. I mean, that was the thing. Like, he was such a, you know, great guy to be around. But that sort of obfuscated the reality that, you know, he wasn't that great a president. You know, his approval ratings, you know, weren't as good as, you know, you would think. I have them somewhere.
They ended up being 52% across the breadth of his presidency,
right,
which you'd think would be a little bit higher. I think the high mark was 68%.
Is that as good as Clinton?
No.
I think his average election year approval rating was 57, and Bush's so far has average election year approval rating has been 51. So
but
Bush is not kind of measuring up as popular as Reagan.
But now Reagan was a dude who, you know, armed the Iranians in exchange for the hostages, and then, you know, armed the Iraqis. Rumsfeld went to Iraq in 1983 to sort of like, you know, make sure everybody was getting along because he was in the Reagan camp then. So he gave, you know, Osama bin Laden and that crew, when they were Mujahideen, the first of their ammunitions to fight the Russians at that time. And really sort of, you know, some of those missiles and arms are still being fired at the American military now. Is that true?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are questions about missing armaments from that same period of time, and there probably will continue to be questions. And, you know, now we've got former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, former President George H.W. Bush, current President George W. Bush. It's like everybody's lining up to deliver eulogies at the funeral service for Ronald Reagan this Friday. And I suppose that is to be expected. I suppose the whole outpouring of, see, on the one hand, it's grief, but on the other hand, it's this love for what he did. And, you know, we talked about the fact yesterday, neither you nor I, and I'm not sure we can get Sue's opinion on this too, I don't share it, to be honest with you.
I never shared it. And the truth of the matter is like, you know, in 1982, he oversaw an economic recession that was the worst, you know, since the Depression. You know, his approval rating, as we said, was bad. The Iran-Contra scandal. I mean, you know, you can be respectful of him in death, but I mean, we can't let them use it as some sort of rallying point to try and bolster this president's, you know, lack of credibility.
But it's interesting to look at. I mean, you know, why you know, you two in particular don't count him as your president. You loathed his policies. You didn't like the man. Maybe you laughed at his jokes. Maybe you didn't. You probably didn't. But the thing is about the American presidency is that it has this sort of larger than life, bigger than the man. I mean, were that it were bigger than a woman, but so far bigger than a man status, in that Reagan made America feel great again. It didn't matter whether you disagreed with him. People tended to like him. And after Carter, who was seen as, you know, too ponderous and, you know, too bogged down and too serious, he made things simple. And he played into America's great sense of optimism and can-do spirit and sense of, you know, this is a very big, powerful country, and we believe in all the individual people. We don't believe in government. And that's why the presidency as a symbolic job in America is so powerful. That's why Bush can get away with so much stuff, that, you know, you would disagree with so much of what he's done in Iraq and on the economy, but people look to the presidency. It's almost like a disembodied role. It has such a sort of figurehead component to it, and Bush benefits from that too. People kind of like him. He makes people feel good about themselves. Even if you look at his policies and you think he's screwing up.
His approval ratings are in the can. A lot of people don't think that great of Bush. I mean, if it sticks, if the persona sticks, I agree with you. But if not, I don't agree with you. And economic growth, you know, when Carter left office, the GDP, job rate, and revenues were all positive. And then it all, like, Reagan plunged his country into a deficit that is only topped by Bush. You know, it's just a scam.
Massively taught by Bush.
But it's a scam. You know, the guy was, you know, yeah, I mean, what you're saying is true, but I don't know what that says about the American people necessarily, is that they'd rather believe BS than, you know, actually investigate the truth.
Well, look, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can look at this. Politically, the man served two terms, which is the maximum allowed under the law, so he could be viewed as a skilled politician, but me personally, that's about as far as I'll go with him. He was on the wrong side of civil rights. He was on the wrong side of AIDS. He was on the wrong side of South Africa. That's three strikes, you're out as far as I'm concerned.
That's all true. I mean, I was in Washington for part of his administration and covered the Iran-Contra hearings when I worked at Reuters News Agency. And it was amazing to me that people seemed not to really care. They seemed to just kind of slough it all off and not pay a great deal of attention. And women, and men for that matter, ended up falling in love with Oliver North for looking like a national hero, for appearing in his uniform in front
men
of the
men fell in love with him, too?
They did.
What, for
they
for
did. I'm
part.
Sorry. They
for being,
did.
For being honest that he lied and, you know, and channeled, you know, money, you know, into, you know,
devious scams.
No, but there is a base. There is a base for conservative support, and I think you maybe misunderstood me earlier. I'm not saying that the whole country backs Bush. Absolutely not. But there is a base that still, no matter what all the evidence is, in the face of messing up on the economy and international policy, people still go for the figurehead. They do.
Wasn't
they
that what,
feel,
isn't that
feel
any
covered.
Leader, though? Really? I mean, isn't it any leader? Isn't that
somewhat any leader? It was a bit quite so similar with Thatcher, but it's somebody who has that position of authority and that plays into something in our personal and national psyche.
People
and
need
I
something
think
to believe in.
Reagan really did that. He was Big Daddy. He was Big Daddy.
I know, you keep hammering this daddy thing, and I get
what
you're saying. But
the thing that I do think is interesting about him and that Bush has not done is that after Iran-Contra, I mean, it was a big obfuscation. He did actually have some kind of an apology, which at the time was considered astounding for the use of the passive tense, and he wasn't really taking full responsibility. Mistakes were made, I think, was the famous phrase of the day. But that his approval rating did kind of jump back up after that. Mistakes were made, he said, about Iran-Contra. Bush can't remember making any mistakes. Remember that press conference a couple of months ago?
That somebody would have learned from Reagan in saying that he had made the mistakes and watching his approval ratings go up. I would think there'd be a line of politicians say, okay, well, yeah, to be candid about it, I've messed up this, I've messed up that. Where's my bump?
But you can't use the I. It has to be mistakes were made, or it has to be sort of hidden in a way that you acknowledge that they took place, but no one directly takes personal responsibility. Or even departmental responsibility. That's the trick. But what's amazing
Kennedy
is that...
Kennedy just took responsibility.
Yeah, he quit.
Well, he just said his family needed him.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of other things going on, and we ought to make note of the fact that there have been a number of car bombs. Two car bombs exploded in separate cities in Iraq today. 14 Iraqis dead, one U.S. soldier dead as well, dozens wounded. And, we read these stories and we see dozens wounded. And, we tend to focus on the death toll. Okay, there are a certain number of people who died. But we don't focus on how badly injured the wounded actually end up being. We don't know whether they be American soldiers or Iraqis. Did they lose arms? Did they lose legs? Is there shrapnel in their back? There are all these questions, at least for me, when I see these stories about people dying and people being wounded, there's a lack of human dimension to this that sort of troubles me. But six other coalition soldiers, two Poles, three Slovaks, and a Latvian, were killed in an explosion while defusing mines 25 miles south of Baghdad. And the Slovaks and Latvians were the first deaths from either of these two countries. So we see that the violence is continuing as we head toward that June 30th deadline.
Also, the violence is continuing and spreading through countries as Bush really needs to be kind of building up his international ties and using diplomacy to kind of shore up the allies' support for the Gulf War and for the Iraq War and the rebuilding efforts.
And it looks now like
harder.
Yeah, it looks like the U.S. has gotten a little bit of help on the UN resolution front. It now looks like France will end up supporting that draft resolution, which has been changed a number of times. I believe it was at least four times or maybe even six times over the last couple of weeks.
Well, France wanted the Iraqis to have the right to say that the American military could not take action if they chose them not to take action. Is that correct?
Right. They want veto power. But so the next holdout to convert is Germany. That's the last one we have to win over.
I think Germany is the last one.
And that's a money thing?
It's partly a money thing, but now diplomats are saying that there will be they're expecting a unanimous vote of the Security Council when they meet later on today.
All that fishing, you see, all that fishing and hanging out on a resort will just mollify them all.
I don't know. It's interesting. China has welcomed changes made as well, so I don't think the Chinese are going to stand in the way either.
Still ahead is Bush hoping to benefit from Reagan's death, and up next, a Dream Diary right here on Air America.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber and épée. You've got to see it. That's why Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You can win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at a Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Yes, it's morning in America. It's Tuesday. I'm Mark Maron, Morning Sedition with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott.
Hey.
Bouncing back from a three-day weekend of illness.
Bronchitis.
Right now, my therapist asked me to write down my dreams, so I do. Thank you for all the emails about the dream diary.
The love.
Appreciate it. The love, the hate, the beauty of it all. Here we go. This is last night's dream. I'm bringing to my therapist on Thursday. Note, in this dream, the rabbits have smug, soothing voices. I don't know if I can pull that off. All right, so I want you guys to... I'll try. I'm sitting in a folding chair surrounded by liberals. Only there are a group of well-educated, ethnically diverse, fuzzy rabbits wearing expensive turquoise jewelry from Sedona. I smell patchouli. Someone's playing Nora Jones. But none of them are smiling. For a bunch of adorable rabbits, they look kind of PO'd. Mark, we decided to call this intervention because we feel you've lost control and because we love you. What'd I do? The rabbits all give each other this pitying look and twitch their little noses. And then they say, and here's the creepy part, as a group, you can't make fun of Clinton. You can't make fun of Gore. You can't make fun of Kerry. You can't make fun of Reagan. And I'm like, why not? They're just people. Because it's really insensitive, Mark, and it's mean, they say. Liberals must be powerless and tasteful, you know, like NPR, and all the rabbits murmur, mmm, NPR. What about the First Amendment, I say? We're all for the First Amendment as long as no one uses it for inappropriate comedy. But those guys are funny, all of them, and they deserve it. No, Mark, it's just hurtful. Remember, things are only funny when we tell you they are. And would it kill you to shave once in a while and put on a nice shirt? I'm on the radio. How the hell do I... No one knows how I look. We know, says one really smug rabbit. And then they all charge at me. Suddenly I'm being smothered by soft, luxurious rabbit fur. I try to fight them off, but there are too many of them. This is for your own good, they say. And they hold my arms down and slip a syringe into my vein. When I come to, I'm a rabbit. Only shaved and with a new shirt. I love you guys, I say. And I cry and I twitch my adorable little nose. We group hug and Bush wins a second term. But we're still thinner than the Republicans, and that's all that really matters. I woke up and my bed was filled with delicious clover. What is that about?
Ooh.
Another prose poem. A prose poem dream diary. So let's continue this.
Sure.
Let's continue this discussion of Bush trying to compare himself to Reagan, trying to feed off the Reagan death high, trying to get a contact buzz from the death of the Reagan.
A bump in the polls.
Perhaps. A bump in the polls. Average election year approval rating for Reagan, 57%. Average election year approval rating for Bush, 51%. Highest national debt, $2.6 billion in 1988. $7.2 billion now. So he's doing something better than Bush, or better than Reagan. He's putting the country more into debt. National deficit, $155 billion in 1988. National deficit projected, $500 billion in 2005. So I guess what he's doing is he's really taking all the negative elements of Reagan and taking them over the top.
By the way, that's trillion.
Trillion.
The national debt.
500 trillion.
No. The national debt.
7.2 trillion.
Yeah, that's not billion. That's trillion.
Well, he's really outdone Reagan. I guess he does demand some respect for plunging us into the biggest national debt ever. It's all right. Didn't Reagan prove that deficits didn't matter? It took Clinton to put the country back on course. And now this Republican president has plunged us into economic disaster again, just like Reagan.
Well, he's trying, and I think Bush, again, you know, this is politics we're dealing with here. The guy is trying to hitch his wagon to a very popular person. Obviously, the popular person happens to be deceased at the age of 93. But these are desperate times for George W. Bush, as we saw yesterday when we looked at that story from the Capitol Blue website. You remember that?
Yeah, he's snapping.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, where's that thing?
Capitol Hill Blue, I'm sorry.
I got it. It's great. It's great. The dude is snapping. It's not great in a lot of ways, but it's great in some other ways. It gives me the creeps that the dude is, apparently he's walking around the halls of the White House mumbling Bible passages and cursing. That's like Nixon territory. Maybe he's more like Nixon.
Well, you know, Nixon did pray with Henry Kissinger.
Listen to this. Says one troubled White House aide, we seem to spend more time trying to destroy John Kerry than Al-Qaeda, and our enemies list just keeps growing and growing. So there's a guy that's been accused of politicizing everything, and now it's like out and out, it's a priority to him. He's so seething with hatred and contempt and fear that he's going to lose, that he's talking to himself, and all he can think about is beating Kerry.
Do you think he's on your list? I mean, do you think you're on his list? Excuse me.
Dude, I just hope people are listening.
But listen, you know.
That's all I got to say. If I'm on his list, well, there you go.
Have you seen the Bush campaign website?
No, I haven't.
It's kind of morphing into a memorial with Bush's comments on Reagan's death and links to the former president's speeches.
You know, if I were
Meanwhile, you know, they don't want to make it political, oh no, but, we had George Bush Sr. on the morning talk shows yesterday, the Republican aides are coming up with comments, any comments they can find from John Kerry, which seem to have been unflattering to Reagan in the 1980s. So Kerry's having a sort of cease and desist, isn't it, on his campaign.
Out of respect.
Yeah. At the same time, the Republican aides are coming up with comments that Kerry made that were unflattering to Mr. Reagan in the 1980s.
Everybody made unflattering comments about Reagan in the 80s. Everybody. I know I did. Yeah, but there wasn't a comedy show that went by where there weren't Reagan jokes. Whether they were endearing or not, everybody made fun of that guy. And the few comics that I knew that had the guts to really take him on, about Iran-Contra, about the economy, about his treatment of AIDS people with AIDS, that, you know, they were, you know, were not popular comedians. Barry Crimmins, who used to, and still is, he writes for Randy Rhoads, you know, occasionally. And, you know, he was a political comic in the 80s, Randy Credico. And these guys were bullied by, you know, sort of audiences that just could not, you know, there wasn't a show I saw with Barry Crimmins where at some point, exasperated, you know, beat-faced, he would just go, all right. He'd stop his act and go, there are three branches of government. You know, like, he'd have to give a civics lesson. Like, I think Reagan also fostered a lot of that, like, people, you know, everything's cool, I got it under control, don't get involved. You know, just be happy.
You know what I can't figure out? Why is George W. Bush, a notably bad public speaker, going to deliver a eulogy with all these other people? I mean, his father can run circles around him as far as public speaking.
Almost. They both kind of noodle on. They kind of trail off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Thatcher is not chopped liver when it comes to that. There are a couple of other people who are going to be speaking.
British people are good at the talking.
But she's pretty frail. I don't know that I would. Is she giving a speech? Because she really.
She's eulogizing. She's giving a eulogy.
Right. Well, yeah. She'll have to have done a lot of practicing, I think, because she's not in such great shape these days.
What do you mean? What's the matter? Is she just old?
She's aging.
Oh, well, maybe she's going to be. I know she's
aging,
there.
Aging, as in, prematurely or sort of fast forward aging and whatever medical condition it might be caused by. But. Yeah, there are all sorts of reports that have kind of doddery.
Come on now, don't speak ill of the conservatives.
Here's an interesting thing that.
But do you really think that, you know, Bush is going to be able to pull it off? That he is, you know, he can legitimately claim to have have Reagan's mantle, and that he can he can portray himself at this point when his approval ratings are kind of down as low as they are. What are they, down around 49% or something?
49%, yeah. And
that,
and
he
what
can somehow sort of channel Reagan and kind of turn this to his advantage. I mean, do you not think he'll have like a momentary bounce with him? By next week, people are going to have moved on and forgotten, and then people are going to be coming up with the kind of stories that we see in today's paper about, you know, covering up stuff about Abu Ghraib.
Possible. I don't know. I mean, he's got guts enough to get up and give a eulogy. I guess he's got guts enough to do just about anything.
Guts?
Straight ahead, yeah. Guts.
Nerd.
But it takes
nerd.
Yeah, that's guts. Straight ahead, the Presidential Daily Briefing, the Salon.com story of the day, courtesy of economist James Galbraith, and Recovery Corner. We'll be right back here on Air America Radio.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD, directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. A published report this morning says White House lawyers concluded in a March 2003 legal memorandum that President Bush was not bound by either an international treaty prohibiting torture or by a federal anti-torture law because he had the authority as commander-in-chief to approve any technique needed to protect the nation's security. The memo was prepared by Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. More violence around 2 major cities in Iraq, killing another American soldier and injuring 10 others. No word on the source of the bombings. International acceptance appears near on that revised U.S.-backed Iraq resolution. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice expressed optimism for quick approval. And President Bush and the Republicans are reportedly losing their support in Florida's huge Cuban community. At issue, the war in Iraq and Bush's policy towards Cuba's Fidel Castro. President's brother, Jeb Bush, the governor of the state, is discounting the latest shift in the polls. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Newsflash. Tim Robbins' Embedded is going to London. Must close at the Public Theater in New York on June 5th.
A savagely witty, very smart, very screwball, and ultimately very chilling comedy.
San Francisco Chronicle.
Embedded.
Wildly entertaining. You'll find more truth about war on this stage than you'll find in most newspapers.
BBC.
Embedded.
Poisonous.
Who's that from?
The New Republic.
Whoa.
Embedded.
Savagely witty and incisive, uncompromising.
L.A. Times.
Embedded.
Swift, savage, sharply clever lampoon.
New York Star Ledger.
Embedded.
Bad taste.
Who's that from?
Fox News.
Whoa.
Embedded.
Excellent, timely, and compellingly cutting satire, a tribute to the finest traditions of drama and political comedy.
Democracy Now.
Embedded by Tim Robbins at the Public Theater.
212-239-6200. Last chance to see Tim Robbins in Embedded. Must close June 5th.
Order tickets now.
212-239-6200.
Order tickets now.
Make every day bolder.
Introducing the new, bolder taste of Maxwell House French Roast. You told us you wanted a more full-bodied coffee? We listened. Today we custom roast our beans for a new, bolder flavor. Try the new taste of Maxwell House French Roast. It's a bold new way to make every day good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
The old Franken factor.
Now, let me ask you, these Halliburton executives at the five-star, can they, like, order the shrimp cocktail and we're paying for that?
I haven't seen the Inspector General's detailed report, but I assume that it includes all of the meals and other amenities.
Air America's Al Franken.
If they're getting shrimp cocktail, that really pissed me off. Okay.
I don't know how a shrimp cocktail isn't quick.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer. The old Franken factor on Air America Radio.
Good morning, it's Mark Maron here on Morning Edition with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. Our guest changed my point of view on a lot of things. A couple years ago I read a piece that he wrote on the corporatization, I guess is how you would say it.
That's maybe, it.
On the corporatization of the president with this particular president. And he's been on the show before. He's got Salon.com story of the day. He's coming to us from the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas at Austin. James K. Galbraith, good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to talk to you.
Nice to be back.
So how did Reaganomics change the course of economic history, you know, for the world?
Well, it was, in fact, a turning point for the world economy. A range of things happened, but the main thing that affected the rest of the world was the huge rise in interest rates, which set off the debt crisis and basically destroyed the development process throughout Africa, through much of Latin America.
To this day?
To this day, yes. No, there has not been a full recovery in Latin America, and there hasn't. Africa has just been in a downward spiral ever since.
So his economic legacy, you know, for global health is disastrous.
I think that's essentially right, yes.
And how does it compare to the current economic policy of this whack job?
Well, this is not a particularly happy time for the rest of the world.
Yes.
We're, of course, in an environment of very low interest rates. We don't have quite the same extreme pressure, but the early 1980s were really a disaster.
James Galbraith, I'm curious. You mentioned how Reaganomics really hurt much of the rest of the world, and Americans really didn't become, for example, cognizant of the problem, the debt crisis in Mexico, until years after Reagan left office. Can you kind of detail for us how his economic policy specifically hurt other places?
Well, when he came in, two policies that were taken right away. One of them was an enormous increase in interest rates, and the other one was the cut in taxes, which led to an enormous increase in the deficit. When you add those two things together, you've got an enormous amount of pressure that was put on the credit markets that had been lending very heavily out to the rest of the world. And Mexico in August of 1982, advised that they simply couldn't pay their debts. And that set off a chain of similar defaults throughout Latin America, and you had essentially no effective reaction to it from U.S. policymakers for another 3 or 4 years. Really, not until Bush 1 came into office in '89.
Why are people so enamored with this president who almost, you know, completely bankrupted the United States of America?
Well, there's a mythology which is going around, and it's certainly been given an airing in the last few days, which holds that Reagan's policies had some great, you know, coherent revolutionary character to them, and there's nothing could be further from the truth. And in fact, the Reagan economic policy was a loose political alliance of a couple of different groups, the monetarists and the supply siders, who actually couldn't stand each other and were constantly fighting. The supply siders felt that everything would be all right if you just cut taxes on the wealthy, although they also they didn't complain when taxes went up on the poor. And the monetarists thought that everything would be all right if you just controlled the money supply. Well, the supply-siders wanted the gold standard. So it was really a mishmash of incompatible ideas. The results in the first couple of years were just utterly disastrous. After that, it's fair to say, there were some changes. Monetarism basically disappeared. After having passed the largest tax cut in history in 1981, mm-hmm. Reagan's people began to acquiesce in tax increases, and we got two of the largest tax increases in history in 1982 and 1984. We got a tax reform in 1986. So there was a certain pragmatism after the initial disaster, but nobody remembers the pragmatism. What they're all talking about and celebrating are the disasters.
Professor James Galbraith, as an economist, could you give us an idea, please, of what you think that George Bush is going to achieve at the G8 summit of leading industrial countries at Sea Island in Georgia this week?
Well, I suppose he's hoping to achieve some good photo opportunities, but I'm not an expert on that.
If anything, will he really achieve?
At the G8 summit? I'm sure nothing. These meetings are greatly overrated. I understand, of course, there's some initiative to give the appearance of being a good soldier for democracy in the Arab world, which the governments of the region haven't taken too kindly to, and a number of them are not coming, invited as guests to the summit and declined to attend. I wouldn't look to these meetings as being a particularly significant event.
Yeah, can I ask you one question? Did Clinton save the economy?
Clinton had an enormously successful run for 8 years.
Yes.
And proved that the economy can run at full employment without inflation.
But it had nothing to do with Reagan.
Oh, no, it had nothing to do with, it had nothing to do with Reagan, that's right.
Well, thanks for joining us, James Galbraith. I really appreciate you being here. It's always great to talk to you.
It's a pleasure.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Give us a call at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Who was worse, Bush or Reagan? Sedition at airamericaradio.com. Let's hear from you.
People, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next, office supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper.
Looking for an easier way to afford the latest technology?
Sir, why aren't we just getting a Dell?
At DellRadio.com, you'll find great deals on PCs powered by highly reliable Intel processors. Get everything from notebooks and servers to printers and PDAs to complement your PC purchase. Everything you need in one place.
Water, however, will still be available for a nominal fee.
Right now at DellRadio.com, you can get a Dell Dimension desktop with an Intel Pentium 4 processor for just $389 after a 10% discount. Monitor not included. Taxes extra. Order select systems today and get up to 20% off and free 3 to 5 day shipping. DellRadio.com. Just one more thing that's easy as Dell.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves. Some laughed. laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600. Or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Forty-two past the hour, taking your calls, 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We got Mark Riley here, Sue Ellicott's Morning's Edition. It's Air America Radio.
Yep.
We've got today's presidential daily briefing, the classified top secret document that the president gets every day. Today, the PDP is called Check Email Inbox. Mr. President, it's come to our attention that an email posted on Islamic websites warns that Al-Qaeda plans to attack Western and American Airlines. As near as we can tell, these emails come from either TWA, United, JetBlue, or Al-Qaeda. To be safe, we'll assume it's Al-Qaeda. We all remember the last time you ignored this kind of warning. That would be in August 2001. You know how that turned out. These people aren't kidding. In fact, from what we've been able to learn about them since September 11th, they don't have much of a sense of humor. They've had over 3 years to learn how to lighten up. Nothing. We suggest investigating this issue quickly. We will try to get flight numbers to you to make it easier. But in the meantime, our agency director suggests you pay close attention to American Airlines Flight 403. That's what our director will be taking next Thursday to visit his parents in Seattle. So he says that's as good a place to start as any. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. Diane in Manhattan. How are you, Diane? Good morning.
Yeah. So, well, to go to your question, you could say that Bush is worse, but Reagan would have been Bush if he were in this time, I think. It's just that, you know, U.S. has more power. There was no Soviet Union. The rest of the world is weaker because of Reagan's policies, so we can be a bigger bully. But I really also want to make the point that by these policies and this pattern now of total fiscal irresponsibility, and by looking not at the interests of the whole country or even not considering at all the working class interests, but just looking at the class interests, which the Republicans have already done, but it's just worse and worse and more out-and-out greed. By spending all of the, by having these tax cuts and really siphoning off the wealth for the top 5% or whatever,
yeah.
The Democrats have to come along, like Clinton, for example.
Yeah.
If Clinton hadn't had this $1 trillion-plus debt,
yeah.
He could have had done the usual agenda of the Democratic Party and given money for education, given money for daycare,
right.
And all of those things. Well, he had to totally abandon the liberal agenda just to pay off the friggin' debt.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the same thing if we elect a Democrat this time.
Yeah, well, hopefully, thanks for your call, Diane. I understand her concern, but, I mean, we need to elect a Democrat this time.
Well, you know, she makes the point, though, that had Bill Clinton not had to deal with a huge debt,
he would have been a miraculous.
Well, the economy might have really taken off further and faster.
These guys like to get us into debt. It's their big thing. And the thing she was saying about Reagan is that I'm not so sure. He was more prone to sort of covert operations than outward war, you know, unless it was something that it was a guaranteed win like we
made. Except, yeah, unless it was guaranteed.
How about repealing the tax cut?
Who's? No one's repealing any tax cuts.
No, I mean, if they would.
That
would go a long way to turning things around.
Yeah, and there are some people that believe that the Americans should be willing to make those sacrifices if they're willing to accept that, you know, this is a justified war, that, you know, they should repeal the tax cuts.
John McCain, for one.
Omar in Westchester, it's nice to talk to you, as always.
Mark, Sue, good morning. What's going on?
No,
what's up, Omar?
Hanging out?
All right, well, this is an easy one. The worst one, of course, is my main man, Bush, baby.
Yeah.
Reagan was up front. You know that. Reagan didn't care about you. I don't like you. If you're not down with my team, you get nothing.
Yeah.
That's what Reagan was totally about. And he said it. I mean, everybody has to understand that. Bush, he'll tell you, okay, well, you know what? If you come on down with the team and you start getting some land in Texas, I got something for you. that's Bush today.
Yeah.
But if you're not down with my team, you get nothing.
Hey, Omar. Yeah. Omar.
What's up, baby?
What do you think Brian McKnight is getting?
I I'll plead fifth on that one.
Thanks for calling, buddy.
No, that was a reference to Brian McKnight, who sang at the Republican convention 4 years ago and hasn't had a hit record since.
That was the end of it, huh?
Yeah.
Ann in New Jersey, what's going on?
Yeah, I think they're both as just as bad, really. I mean, you know, no one cares. I mean, Bush cares about nothing. He cares about the poor people. He doesn't care about the poor people.
Right. He only cares about himself and keeping his friends rich and winning.
Right. And Reagan didn't care about AIDS. He didn't care about the air traffic controllers, and he didn't care about all, you know, everyone that all the CETA programs. And
yeah.
Bush is about the same way. I mean, he cares about nothing except his concerns in Washington and all the rich people.
Well, thanks for calling. You're absolutely right. These guys are greedy, and they both feel justified, religiously justified in their decisions to not care. Glenn in Long Island, how are you, Glenn?
Okay.
What's going on, buddy?
What's up?
Well, I'd have to, for your question first, I'd have to say Bush.
Yes.
Reagan laid the foundation, but Bush has taken it to a new level.
No kidding, right? Twice as much debt.
Yeah.
More than that, 10 times, like a million times more debt. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Now, these, you have, like, economists who come on, all these analysts, and nobody really gets to the core issue of economic policy, which is really the Republicans versus the Democrats is really just a case of short-term gain versus long-term.
Right.
And nobody really approaches that. You know, do you want to invest in education or do you want to pay for prisons later? Or do you want to invest in a cure for a disease or pay for emergency rooms or even take out a loan and have a big party and not worry about paying for it later?
Well, none of these guys really want to take – thanks for your call. They don't want to take – they don't have the long-term vision. It's about, you know, make it now, you know, get what you can.
Because short-term thinking wins elections.
Right, but you know, Galbraith was saying, globally, short-term thinking has destroyed a lot of the third world.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Simple messages, short-term thinking.
Quickly, Ari, how are you in Manhattan?
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, hey. We've only got a second. What do you got on your mind, buddy?
This is Ari, and President Reagan murdered thousands of Americans. My friend Gary died of AIDS, and he did nothing. He's a murderer, and the president in the White House today, if you can call him a president, has perpetuated that legacy by promoting discrimination and prejudice and taking it to the point of recommending it should be put into the Constitution of the United States. I'm glad Reagan's dead.
Thank you very much, Ari. That was very a somber close to our call-in segment, but a lot of people feel that way. His treatment of people with AIDS was heinous. He completely ignored the pandemic. We will be back with Recovery Corner, and we might talk to this guy Russell, who's a Hemp Fest organizer. So thanks for being here.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better-looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia-Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been been made illegal in some states. So call now for details. Remember, the phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Morning's edition is back with Sue Ellicott, Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We're on Air America Radio. I am Mark, and I am an alcoholic.
Hello. Hi, Mark.
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. Today, as always, I'm offering my counsel to my sponsee, George W. George, there's a lot of talk around the West Wing that you're acting paranoid, erratic. You're quoting the Bible one moment, railing obscenely against the media in the next. You're starting to lose it. You know, I know why. There's a lot of pressure. You're in relapse mode, my friend. You know, we're watching. All right? And I don't think it's your failing poll numbers. You know, I don't think it's renewed threats from Al-Qaeda or problems in Iraq. What's really bugging you is you were just in France. And, you know, those guys can have a glass of wine with dinner. You know, they can have one drink. All right? But that's not an option for an alcoholic. And I know you're at the G8 summit, and you're going to have to, you know, have toast with the French president. And if there's ever a time you wanted to have a drink, it's now, right? Probably, as we know, more than one. Right, probably a lot more. But look, you don't have to drink alcohol. The French respect a non-alcoholic toast? Sure they do, and they don't respect you anyway. So own that. The toast won't be the issue anyways, all right? So remember, the enemy isn't just Al-Qaeda. It's also 100 proof and locked away in Dick Cheney's cabinet. And that's one weapon of mass destruction you shouldn't even try to find. You understand, buddy? Remember, keep the plug in the jug. Keep it simple, stupid. Under every dress, there's a slip. If drinking doesn't bring you to your knees, sobriety will. There are no elevators in AA, only steps. Fake it till you make it. Get to a meeting. George W. reaching out. And someone reached out to me, oddly. I got an email. I'm not going to say his name. But, Mark Maron, I owe you an amends. In the 80s, I was on a drunk in New York City. I ran into you in the Times Square area. I recognized you from your work on Comedy Central and approached you and a friend you were with. I put the bite on you for some money, saying it was for food. You gave me $10. I bought a Knish and drank the rest. I've always felt guilty over it every time I would see you on TV. Since then, I sobered up in 96. I now live in Oregon. I would like to be able to send you your money every morning. I feel guilty listening to you and enjoying the service you provide me, knowing I scammed you back then. Please accept my apology and allow me to make the amends by paying you back. Tom H., I absolutely accept your apology and
we'll accept your money with interest.
Yeah, I will write you an email, and I know how important this is, but I feel a great amount of relief. I hope you do as well, and thank you very much.
Tell the truth, though, for
reaching out like that.
Did you remember giving him the money?
The fact is that
were you just giving out $10
giving out $10 every day?
But that's the weird thing is that, you know, I will, if people need it, I will give people a lot of money. I mean, $10 isn't a buck, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's a guy that I see all the time that, you know, after a certain point, you got to make a decision to give people money or not. You can't judge what they're going to use it for, even though we all do. You know, you know what I mean? If I see a guy with no legs, I'll give him $1 because that's what I allot people with no legs. You know, crackhead, I'll give 50 cents. But I'm not going to deny them money.
by judgment, but I will judge the need, you know, appropriately, but I'll give him some money.
I had a friend had a good way around that, the kind of giving money to people who were clearly kind of drunk on the street with no judgment. He'd hand them out, he'd pull out bills from his wallet and give it to them, and he'd go, like, I just want you to promise me one thing, okay, buddy? Promise you'll spend it on drink. And
they
look at him kind of really confused.
Yeah,
Promise me.
Yeah,
and the guy would look really, really baffled.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Everybody felt fine.
Yeah. And my buddy Jerry used to do that. Make sure you use that on drugs.
Drugs.
Speaking about drugs, Russell Selkirk is the HempFest organizer. Columbus, Ohio. Russell, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. What's going on up there?
What's up, Russell?
Oh, well, it's been pretty hectic lately. You know, we've been dealing a lot with the university, dealing a lot with the media here. We've gotten more exposure and coverage of SSDP and HempFest than
What's
ever
the agenda?
Before.
What's the agenda? Tell us what you're talking about.
The HempFest is an annual event that happens here in Columbus, Ohio, and it's a basically it's a large public forum. You know, we have a lot of live music, great vendors, good food, and we have a lot of educational speakers come out and talk about ending the war on drugs.
Right.
Okay. Lots and lots of food, huh?
Oh, yes. Lots of gourmet food this year.
So you think that drugs should be completely illegal, all drugs?
I'm sorry?
Completely legal,
Mark. Completely legal, legalize all drugs?
No, we don't take that standpoint. As Students for Sensible Drug Policy, we are of the opinion that we need to start to reduce the harm that's been caused by the war on drugs.
Right.
Start talking more rationally and open and having discussions about alternatives that we can implement.
And, of course, free the weed.
Yes, I mean, that is the nature of the HempFest. We do intend to liberate cannabis in all of its forms for industrial, medicinal, and recreational purposes.
Now, they tried to stop you from doing it this year. You went and got a federal judge, to reverse that decision. You guys aren't going to smoke herb in an academic building like you did in November, are you?
No. You see, this is an outdoor event, and it's actually already happened.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, man. I think that the pot, you know, if used responsibly, can be really good. If not used responsibly, can sort of, you know, make you retarded.
I think it could be even better.
Right. Now, Russell can be reached at OhioHempFest.org, OhioHempFest1word.org, or SSDP.org. Wow. That's Students for a Sensible Drug Policy.org. Don't miss the next hour of Morning's Edition. We'll have an in-studio conversation with David Wallace, editor of Killed, Great Journalism Too Hot to Print. Plus, the GOP's got beef with Tony winners. Find out why here on Air America Radio.
The Long Ride Home by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between 14 hours in a minivan, between the world's largest pothole and the hubcap that got away. Between 5, look at the horses. About 50, I have to go to the bathroom. And one amazing sunset. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
Call 1-800-800-8000 or visit super8.com. All Super 8 motels are individually owned and operated.
Hey, it's summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right, ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Forget about the impending trials of American soldiers allegedly responsible for prisoner abuse in Abu Ghraib and other Iraqi detention centers. The New York Times reports this morning that White House lawyers determined in a legal memorandum around the start of the war in Iraq that President Bush was not bound by either an international treaty prohibiting torture or by a federal anti-torture law because he had the authority as commander-in-chief. Memo was prepared for Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. It also cited that any executive branch of officials, including those in the military, could be immune from domestic and international prohibitions against torture for a variety of reasons. Disclosure of the prisoner abuse issue sent shockwaves throughout the world, with the Bush White House promising a full-scale investigation. Senior Pentagon officials yesterday sought to minimize the significance of the March memorandum in 2003. Polling trends in the state of Florida show that President Bush and the Republican Party are losing their grip on Florida's huge Cuban community. There appears to be a sea change in the political thinking of many Cubans who traditionally support Republicans. The large anti-Castro Cuban bloc in Florida appears to be up in arms over Bush's war in Iraq and his recent policies against Fidel Castro. Despite the trends, the president's brother Jeb says, don't fall for the hype that Cubans and Latinos on the whole are considering support for Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry and the Democratic Party. Florida Governor Jeb Bush compared the Latino community to birds who seasonally fly in and out of the region during certain times of the year. Governor believes Latinos will fly back for the GOP just in time for the fall election. The governor is married to a Latina. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice is hopeful that OPEC ministers will step up production of crude in the midst of the international oil crisis.
Everybody welcomed the OPEC statement because it's the concern of everybody in the G8 and the concern of everybody in the economic sector that the world economy is one that needs to keep growing and where energy prices are a factor.
National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice commenting on the oil crisis at the seat of the G8 summit in Georgia. White House is predicting approval soon on the new Iraq resolution at the United Nations. National Security Advisor Rice says she expects an accord within a couple of days. She spoke to reporters as G8 leaders began arriving for the summit in Sea Island, Georgia yesterday. President Bush is doing walkthroughs and getting briefings from aides on the meetings, which begin tomorrow. Rice says Iraq will be part of the crowded agenda that includes talks on trade, AIDS, the war on terrorism, and Bush's initiative to bring democracy to the wider Middle East. Iraq's new president will join in a meeting on that initiative. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and, even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build and keep putting it off, but have you considered the cost of not building? Now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need with the General Steel Corporation. The General will show you how to save time and money with a steel building engineered for your area and to meet your needs. This is no metal box. General Steel will show you how to add the look of stucco, rock, or brick to make that building attractive, yet low maintenance and energy efficient. Call toll-free 1-800-70-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $55,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $120,000, call the General now for free information. Grab a pen and write down this number, 1-800-70-STEEL. That's 1-800-70-STEEL.
Liza Minnelli reveals the truth behind her battle with addiction.
People disqualify alcoholics sometimes, and that's not fair. Someone can kill you.
And legendary entertainer Bette Midler discusses stage fright.
My heart stopped, and I did not know who I was or what I was doing there.
Biography presents Liza Minnelli and Bette Midler with exclusive new and candid interviews. Bette premieres tomorrow night at 8, 7 Central. Liza premieres Friday night at 8, 7 Central, only on A&E.
Tragic story, but not for me.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Randy Rhodes.
I have taken it upon myself to label the president's sovereignty, because there's no sovereignty in his chocolatey sovereignty. It's just chocolatey. So transferring the title of a 78 Pinto that's in flames. Do you know what I mean? The freaking thing is on fire, and it's been broken down in the breakdown lane of the Major Deegan Expressway. But for those of you not up here, I-95, that covers the entire freaking East Coast, okay?
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, day two of the week-long funeral for President Reagan. We have the presidential Palm Pilot in an appropriately respectful fashion, of course. Plus, Iraq continues its countdown to democracy, and our democracy gets some help from Barbara Streisand's liberal agenda. That's all coming up. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Sorry, I had to turn away to belch.
I'm so honored.
Well, you got his belch button.
This whole bagel and coffee at 8 o'clock
right thing
is like stifling gas.
Try it again. I have a special button so you can't. Try it again.
I don't have to.
No, it's this one. Try again.
I cannot stifle the gas that is coming out of my being from being hammered with the death of Ronald Reagan 24 hours a day. Look, you know, I get it. I'm respectful. I'm sorry the guy is dead. He lived a long life. But, you know, the honest to God truth is most of us didn't like him. I didn't like him. You didn't like him.
Like
a lot of our listeners didn't like him. We got a tremendous amount of support yesterday for trying to provide an alternative source of news and relevance to the funeral. You know, a funeral is one thing, but now, you know, the entire collective unconscious is polluted with the type of republicanism that, you know, liberals and radicals fought, you know, when Reagan was alive. And just because he's dead, you know, doesn't mean that we have to allow, we don't have to be steamrolled by, you know, the tributes to Ronald Reagan. He may have been a good guy. He may have been funny. He may have been an okay actor. Not really. He might have been a great, head of the motion picture.
SAG.
President of SAG. But, you know, it's like we don't have, you know, after a certain point, you know, we need to sort of speak up and say, look, you know, and I want to respond to some email. One person I'd like to reach out to more than...
I missed that button again. Let me just try to give it to you.
That's all right. I turned away. I want to reach out to this one person. We got an email yesterday. We got literally hundreds of emails that were just so relieved that we were, you know, covering it in an honest way and in acting appropriately to who we are ideologically, at least me, and I know Mark, you know, in just the fact that, you know, look, I didn't like the guy. You know, I mean, I understand he's dead. I'm sorry. But, you know, he was the first guy to make the poor...
responsible for their own condition.
He denied AIDS, people with AIDS, any sort of funding and completely, you know, helped, you know, spread the pandemic. I mean, he almost broke the country. I mean, you know, as a figurehead, I guess, you know, he was interesting looking.
He was a genial man. That's about as far as I know.
But if you ask Europeans the one thing they remember him for, you know what they'd probably say?
His hair.
No, declaring ketchup a vegetable. That is his enduring legacy.
Yeah.
Among Europeans.
And also, of course, the weird relationship he had with Thatcher.
That too.
Here we go. Here was the email that really moved my heart to a certain amount of tearing. Why don't you folks humble yourself? I'd be embarrassed if I were you. Our entire office personnel is disgusted with you people. One fella asked me if that was a communist network out of New York. Like there was like several communist networks. I told them that it was the leftist fringe of the Democrat Party just shaming themselves out of business. We listened to see what you will have to say next. It's always poison to the soul. And, you know, thank you for listening. And I'm glad that we got some listeners, you know, with our coverage of the Reagan funeral yesterday, that they listened to what we had. They're hanging on every word because it poisons their soul. Well, who's got the real problem then? More soul poisoning for me, please.
It's normal for a country to have a kind of a national outpouring of grief. If anybody feels they want to come hear the other side, they could just use the internet and go onto any number of websites for European newspapers, or how about trying some Arab media?
Or listen to us.
Arab media sites. That will give you the alternative negative view on Reagan if you feel it's too positive here.
But it's just it's a steamrolling, and you know, and people, I imagine, eventually might be critical of his legacy, but because they're trying to desperately trying to attach this current president with the legacy of Ronald Reagan, you know, it's really becoming politicized, and you know, clearly, you know, this president is not Ronald Reagan. He you know, and I didn't like Ronald Reagan. I like this president even less. He doesn't possess half the charm. And we've got some interesting factoids that, you know, in 1978, during a congressional runoff election that Bush was in, Reagan endorsed his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of exciting.
He must have smelled 1980.
This Bush. I'm not talking about Bush Sr.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was trying to...
He smelled 1980. He knew in 19... Because he ran for president in 76. He knew he was going to run again in 80. He also knew that his primary opponent in 1980 would be George's father, George H.W. And they had a very contentious back and forth in 1980.
The other weaselly mumbler.
Yeah. But then he ended up being, eventually his vice president, this guy.
Yeah, just waiting. Biden is time out. Yes, I got to do this.
But, you know, one of the interesting differences is this is a guy, you would not imagine George H.W. Bush rolling up on, for example, the Pentagon and telling, listen, you know, we have a problem with the intelligence that you've been developing. Ronald Reagan would have had his neck for something like that. Yet now we've got a vice president who thinks absolutely nothing of rolling up on any supposedly government agency and telling them what they're supposed to be doing.
Bullying them into giving them the information that they want. That's
right or wrong.
George Tenet's leaving. It sort of gives me the creeps in retrospect, you know. Did he leave? Clearly he was pushed out, but he wanted to leave a year before. So that means that this president held him over for reasons that are baffling. I mean, if he would have left a year ago, they could have gotten the place back in shape. But now he, you know, he leaves abruptly. So who knows who's in charge over there? What's going on at the CIA? And did Tenet know something that we don't know? Or is he like, you know, if something big's going to happen, I'm out of here. I've had enough fall on me.
I think what's interesting in all of this is Nancy Reagan, because she looks to me to have increasingly not likely to vote for Bush. I think over the coming weeks, I kind of want to follow what she's up to, because I think that she could end up being a kind of very kind of, you know, interesting figure in disconnecting herself from Bush as the inheritor of Reagan's mantle. That might not fly.
Well, you know, she broke with Bush over the issue of stem cell
research. Absolutely, it's crucial.
She spoke, I believe, at the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation recently and said that the Bush administration's position on stem cell research, which is there shall be none, was wrong.
Right.
And she really feels that diseases like Alzheimer's can be helped by this kind of research. She's already decided she's not coming to New York for the... And I from what I understand, she has no problem with the city, but she's not coming for the convention.
And a lot of the senators are now turning their, shifting their angle.
58, to be exact.
So that's a lot of Republicans.
The 14 Republicans.
So if Nancy Reagan yields that much power now, I guess she was kind of running things back then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it wasn't just Joan Quigley, for sure. But, you know, the point you made about Tenet is important, Mark, because we're now hearing these stories coming from this supposed Al-Qaeda cell that dropped something on the Internet, a statement on the Internet saying essentially that they have problems with foreigners in Saudi Arabia, and they're going to hit airlines, hit military bases, and residential compounds with terror attacks.
Wow, what a great time for the administration to trim the TSO,
yeah.
The TSA, I mean, from you know, to downsize the one thing they put into place to protect us during air travel. They're like, that timing seems right to pull the plug on that one, put it back into the private sector.
Well, that's the Transportation Security Administration. And one of the things that comes from these kinds of alerts and some of the other things that we've heard, the things that we heard from Ashcroft the other week, is that there doesn't seem to be the kinds of problems with people coming both in and out of this country and moving around the globe that a lot of people thought was going to, you know, was going to be a result of the terror attacks. In other words, it doesn't appear that there's that much more interference with the movement of terrorists and terror cells around the world than there was in August of 2000.
All right, let me understand something. You're saying that it's just as easy for a terrorist to infiltrate our country and other countries as it always was.
Well, Ashcroft said, look, they're here, okay? And they've been here. They've come here since September 11th. Well, so how difficult is it?
But my five-year-old can't get in and out on his British passport anymore when his American one expired. Hey,
Let's listen to Don Rumsfeld. He's got a little input on this.
Yeah.
How many more of those folks are being trained and developed and organized and deployed? and set out to work the seams and the shadows and the caves. And each year that goes by, you have a growing likelihood that they're going to have their hands on increasingly lethal capabilities.
Donald Rumsfeld ought to resign.
And this is another quote, you know, from a few days ago when he was in Asia. Rumsfeld said, "It's quite clear to me that we do not have a coherent approach to this, i.e., the war on terror. They are losing the war on terror. They are scaring the hell out of all of us, you know, on a day-to-day basis. I don't know what they're thinking by coming out and giving a broad sort of warning without raising the terror alert, but saying something big's going to happen. We're not going to put up the orange because we're not willing to put, you know, local police departments in a financial tight fit place, but we're just going to scare the hell out of you."
They just want to be, you know, so they can say, "We told you," in case anything happens. That's all it is.
Yeah, but more than that, I think it's a campaigning device to create as much fear as possible and really make people think that they need to keep this administration in place because they're the only people that can manage this. But from all indications, they can't manage it. It is out of control, and we are losing the war on terror because of this administration. We've made it worse.
I can tell you why they're not actually going to win this.
Can we do it when we come back?
Absolutely.
And still ahead, we got the president's Palm Pilot, plus the Republicans are coming to New York. But what will they think of the Great White Way right here on Air America Radio?
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber and épée. You've got to see it. That's why Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You could win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at a Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
It's air guitar time. Sorry, I came in late because I was in the middle of air guitar.
Air guitarica.
It's amazing.
It is.
Van Halen, right? Got to be. Who else? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember, man. Okay, I'm not going to get into it. I mean, every time I hear a song that I went to high school with, it's like, you know, like, now I got to talk about that for 10 minutes. I'm Mark Maron. Mark Riley's here. Sue Ellicott is here this
morning.
Morning's edition on Air America Radio. Lee LeClaire, you're welcome. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't feel bad now that I really could have cared less about Reagan. Thank you was the email. You're welcome, Lee.
Now, there was one thing I wanted to clear up.
Yeah.
About why America is going to continue to have problems with terrorists around the world. You heard that soundbite we played from Donald Rumsfeld, which we played yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Rumsfeld sounds as if, and I could be wrong about this, but he sounds as if he thinks these are a bunch of faceless, nameless automatons of Arab descent who simply go around being pre-programmed to go out and destroy things. And it's not that. This is a war of ideas, and until you have a better idea, it's going to continue.
We got the presidential palm pilot. Thank you for that, Mark. I'm not interrupting you. I think we're...
No, I'm done.
Okay, okay. I just want people to be like, why did he send the child into the room? Let the adults talk. Get the child out of the room.
The adults finish.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do my presidential palm pilot then. We got to read that email someday if I keep referencing it. This is the presidential palm pilot for today, the 8th. Here's the schedule that my buddy hacked out of the palm pilot in the Oval Office. 8 a.m. for the president. 8 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. We don't need other countries to fix our mess in Iraq. We are giving them the opportunity to fix it. 8:30 a.m. Prepare for G8 summit by writing on hand which world leader goes with which country. 10:30 a.m. Open keynote speech with 10 minutes of you might be a redneck if jokes just to loosen everybody up. Noon, use lunch break to rewrite Defense of Marriage Act so it excludes J-Lo. 2 p.m., double check with Cheney. We're still the most powerful country in the world, right? 5 p.m., take French and German leaders to favorite place on Georgia mainland. Barbecue and mechanical bull. 7 p.m., end of first day of summit. Hand out gift baskets with Hush Puppies, dipping sauce, and I'm with stupid T-shirts. You can still get those, thank goodness. 9 p.m., lights out. Show Laura some tricks you learned from the French president. 10 p.m., sleep on couch. So much for those tricks. So what do we got?
The Republicans, in case people don't know, are coming to New York at the end of August.
Oh, yeah.
For the Republican National Convention. Now, I have covered every political convention since 1976.
Would that be returning to the scene of the crime that he let happen?
Kind of, sort of.
I think New York should just spit him out when they land. Just spit him out. Like, New York is this giant head. Just like, just spit out Republicans like stuff caught in New York's teeth.
Well, you know, the initial thing that the Republicans came with was, okay, we'll come, but we're going to anchor some boats off the Hudson River, and all our delegates are going to stay on the boats through the entire convention.
They thought, hey, those floating refuse barges?
Yeah, no. These are actually floating ocean liners, I guess.
And they think on the barges.
Might be a security problem?
They figured it would be easier for they wouldn't have to spend any money in New York. All they'd have to do was just get on a shuttle bus and go from the docks down to the Madison Square Garden for the convention.
It was Tom DeLay's idea.
That was Tom DeLay's idea, and he was quickly disabused of it by New York's Republican Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who said, no, you don't.
No, you don't, you weird Christian robot.
Well, that's right. Well, now, with all these Republicans, and, you know, New York, for those of you who have never been here,
yeah,
what makes this, I hope I can get away with saying this in front of Sue, the greatest city in the world.
Yes.
It is a great city.
Well, no, say it. The greatest city in the world.
The greatest city in the world.
It's one of the greatest cities in the world.
It is the greatest city in the world, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, and I love Rio de Janeiro, I must say.
Yeah,
but
for the wrong reasons.
Wrong reasons. Yeah, I know. My wife listens to this show. Anyway, one of the things that you can do when you come here is you can avail yourself of all kinds of culture, museums, Broadway plays.
Off-Broadway plays.
Off-Broadway. You name it, they've got it here in New York.
They used to have more in Times Square.
Yeah,
and
I
then
know.
The Republicans definitely would have stayed on the barges.
I can't talk about
it. Yeah.
I have to recuse
myself. You're the only one that remembers.
From any conversation about what used to be on 42nd Street. At any rate, all of these folks are coming. And now convention organizers have decided that rather than go to some of the edgier Broadway works, okay, things like some of the things that actually have won Tonys, like Avenue Q, for example, or I Am My Own Wife, which was about, of course, a German transvestite.
Oh, the thought of it.
Yeah.
It's a great play.
A German transvestite.
Performance.
for two reasons to hate it.
Yeah, right. Perish the thought.
German and transvestite.
Yep. So, they have decided to see Beauty and the Beast, Phantom of the Opera,
no.
Aida,
no.
The Lion King.
No.
And, of course, for those of you who don't know, Aida and The Lion King are both produced by, ka-ching, Walt Disney Productions.
No, Walt Disney Productions.
Walt Disney Productions.
The same Walt Disney that spit Michael Moore's movie out of its big evil mouth?
Yes, that's the one. The one whose founding father was not exactly a nice man toward black folks, either.
Or the Jew.
Yes, that's true, too.
He's turning in his spit in his grave because Michael Eisner is the CEO of Disney. Walt Disney's just like, let me out of this box. Or wait, unfreeze me. Unfreeze my head. I'm ready to come back and take power.
Well, they are going to, they have put Bombay Dreams, which is the Bollywood musical that's on Broadway.
They approved that one?
They approved that. They approved Fiddler on the Roof, and they approved Wonderful Town.
They approved it because it's outsourcing?
I guess. Yeah, right.
Well, you know, one of the good things might be that if there's a whole block of tickets being sold, masses of tickets, that will actually kind of keep things profitable on Broadway, whatever they are. That's the only good thing that can come out of this.
Well, you know, Raisin in the Sun, which has got Felicia Rashad won a Tony for that.
Yeah.
And P. Diddy, Puffy Combs, Sean Combs, however you want to describe him.
P. Diddy, the man who will prove that he will do anything and can do anything.
Well, they're making money hand over fist with that work.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got advanced sales that are, like, breaking records all over.
I will tell you one thing about the black community that I know from comedy. They will represent. They will go out. And I'm sure that plenty of white people are going to see that.
An awful lot of white people.
But the interesting thing is, like, the whole black comedy scene, when it really started to blow up, it was just amazing because so many cats that I'd never heard before, bam, you know, were just like the places were sold out.
Yeah.
People will go. Unlike, you know, like, oh, I can't draw, but that's, you know.
Well, I think one of the things that you're getting from all this, at least that I'm getting from this, is that the Republicans really don't trust their own instincts on things. They can't recommend something that might be a little edgy because, God forbid, some of these George Bushites might actually enjoy it.
Well,
they might enjoy it.
But they do trust their instincts. Their instincts is to like. It's to like kind of really safe stuff if it's that they're going with their wife and families.
Their instincts is to repress. I mean, this is like a clear example of their ideological stand on what they think is immoral. They are, you know, applying moral standards to Broadway shows, like they apply it to gay marriages, like they apply it to any number of what they see as transgressions. They never apply the same moral standards to, you know, torture, to corporate greed and fraud. You know, they never apply the moral standards to anything that really screws a lot of people out of a lot of money.
Let me tell you something about moral standards. I was in Philadelphia 4 years ago and saw and was privy to and went to a couple of the parties that the Republicans gave on some of these railroad cars, vintage railroad cars, not far from what was then the First Union Center.
Uh-huh.
They have no concern about moral issues when it comes to partying for themselves. Believe me.
Yeah, they're selfish.
selfish,
immoral bastards.
And they like to get their heads bad like everybody else.
Yes.
Still to come, the liberal agenda, the countdown to democracy, and our conversation with David Wallace about great news stories you never read. This is Air America Radio.
People, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next Office Supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper.
Looking for an easier way to afford the latest technology?
Sir, why aren't we just getting a Dell?
At DellRadio.com, you'll find great deals on PCs powered by highly reliable Intel processors. Get everything from notebooks and servers to printers and PDAs to complement your PC purchase. Everything you need in one place.
Water, however, will still be available for a nominal fee.
Right now at DellRadio.com, you can get a Dell Dimension desktop with an Intel Pentium 4 processor for just $389 after a 10% discount. Monitor not included. Taxes extra. Order select systems today and get up to 20% off and free 3 to 5 day shipping. DellRadio.com. Just one more thing that's easy as Dell.
Hello.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The bulk apparently starts with George W. Bush. A report this morning indicates the nature of the torture against Iraqi prison detainees and others was ultimately in the hands of the president. White House lawyers determined before the war that the president and other figures within the administration and the military were immune from improprieties associated with prisoner abuse. The president's brother, Jeb, the governor of Florida, says there's no reason to believe a sudden shift in support among Latino voters, especially Cubans, in favor of Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry is something to worry about in this election. Governor compared that majority voting bloc to birds that seasonally fly, vowing they will be back for the GOP in the fall. More violence in Iraq this morning. One American soldier was killed, 10 others wounded in a car bomb attack in two cities outside Baghdad. And it's little after 5:30 in the morning in Simi Valley, California, and hundreds are still lined up to view the flag draped casket of the late Republican President Ronald Reagan.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Unfiltered.
Hey, this is Rachel from Unfiltered. You know why? Bush is golfing the day away at the G8 summit on Sea Island, Georgia, under the watchful eye of 10,000 security officers. Your local police, firefighters, and EMTs are having their budgets cut thanks to Bush's bad policies on Homeland Security. On the next Unfiltered, we take an unfiltered look at first responders.
Who's protecting you? Possibly no one.
Liz Winstead, Chuck D, and Rachel Maddow on Air America Radio.
There you go. How's that? Morning Sedition. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott.
Hey. Good morning.
Did I say I'm Mark Maron? I am Mark Maron.
He is Mark Maron. I will vouch for him.
Our next guest has resurrected some remarkable articles that have not been printed because of the controversy they generated. David Wallace is editor of a new book called Killed, Great Journalism That's Too Hot to Print. And he joins us right now here in person in our studio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, and thank you for having me.
You bet. Why are most stories killed? What's the list of reasons?
Well, there's a long list. I think one of the main reasons is because they suck. I mean, certain articles suck.
That's a good reason.
But that's a good reason. But there's plenty of articles. That said, there are plenty of other reasons why articles get killed, and readers are deprived of learning about important issues because they're killed because of legal reasons. They're killed because the view might not agree with the editor's view, and there's, you know, used
political
to be
reasons.
Political reasons. You know, it used to be that an op-ed, for instance,
yes,
meant opposing editorial.
Right.
It should be called pro-ed today.
Right.
Because really, what I think is a knee-jerk reaction, reflexive reaction, to kill something or not publish something that you don't agree with. And I think it's harder for editors today to go, okay, I don't really agree with the story, but nevertheless, I'm going to run it.
And they cut it up, though, right? Because Chomsky says that you have to read stories that are in the New York Times backwards, and maybe in the last couple paragraphs you might get a kernel of truth.
Look, I do it. I mean, I'm an editor of a syndication service. There have been stories from the right. I'm more to the left than I am to the right, but I do. I've published Dick Morris. I've published libertarians like Kathy Young.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes hard. I even caught myself about to hit the delete key, and then I say, no, I'm going to put it out there. And I think that's sort of a a rare thing today.
I do that with really nasty emails. I'm like, no, I shouldn't. You know, the exercise is in writing it, not sending it. No.
No, well, let me say something. He does that with his life.
They're supposed to. He gets ready to reach and hit the delete button, and then he decides, no, I'm staying.
David Wallace, in your research on this book about killed journalism, which articles, which topics in particular do you think were particularly interesting and should have been out there for the public to read?
Well, there was a story, actually, that I think will really interest your readers 4 years ago. I would make the argument that one of the reasons we have George Bush as a president is because an article got killed. In 2000, in July of 2000, the Portland Press Herald was on the drunk driving story about Bush being a drunk driving, being arrested. Now, he was obviously untruthful about, he lied about the drunk driving issue.
Right.
Okay. So in July, think about this for a minute. In July, they had the story cold, and they held it. They killed the story, and they didn't let the reporter report the story, the editors at the Portland Press Herald. Now, that story broke 5 days before the election. It looked like a dirty political trick. Rather than a question of truthfulness of the presidential candidate. I think if that story had been out there 5 months in advance, it wouldn't have gone away. It would have snowballed. It would have made people look and think about Bush's character or lack thereof.
Didn't they do that with Jim Hatfield's book? Well, the Fortunate Son book, and they killed the whole book, and then supposedly might have killed him.
Well, I don't necessarily think there's an article in Killed in this book that takes down Hatfield piece by piece, peg by peg. And it you know, the left as well as the right kills stories. Let's be quite frank about this. This story was killed by Jan Wenner at Rolling Stone, and it makes a pretty convincing case that Hatfield was a fraud and a con man and a sham.
Fortunate Son was a
Fortunate
fabrication.
Fortunate Son was a complete fabrication, and there's an article in this book that was presented to Rolling Stone. It's about an 11,000-word expose on Jim Hatfield, and it was killed.
Mm. David Wallace, are you saying, just to get back to the George Bush drunk driving story again from July 2000, are you saying it was the editors of the Portland newspaper who self-censored because they didn't want to look as though they were part of a dirty tricks campaign, or somebody put the squeeze on the editors?
I'm saying that George Bush is very powerful and his family is very powerful in Maine, and I can't think of any good reason why a newspaper would not report that story, except that they didn't want to offend, maybe they were on the right, and they didn't want to hurt the chances of the political candidate. I can't think of any good reason why a newsman would decide not to run that story.
Okay, and what other examples do you have of things that you think that the public should have known? Not necessarily about Bush, but anything, you know,
in
about corporate
country,
America, about, yeah, or my country.
Let me just tell you, in your own country, in England, there's a very famous article that was killed by Murray Sale, and he was the co-author of the piece, and it was an account, a real riveting account of Bloody Sunday. And it was written a few days after Bloody Sunday. And for readers that might not know, Bloody Sunday was the execution of peaceful protest marchers in Northern Ireland by British paratroopers. And I think they killed 13 people who were unarmed. And this story was a really what I call a bullet-by-bullet account of that murder. And it was that article disappeared from the newsroom of the Times of London. Okay.
Rupert Murdoch.
And he wasn't the owner then.
No.
He wasn't the owner then.
He was in 71.
Oh, of course, that's right.
I don't have the exact date. It was in the early 70s.
Yeah.
But I think it's incredible. Think about it. Not only was the story killed, but the text of the article disappeared for 26 years.
The text disappeared.
That text disappeared. They found it finally a few years ago. They found the text in an archive at an English college.
Wow.
So there are a tremendous number of stories.
What are some other ones?
How about in the United States? Anything only particularly on politics or corporate America or anything like that?
Yeah, sure. But again, this is a question of the left censors as much as the right. Anita Roddick, who is an icon of the left, she runs The Body Shop. There have been several articles in left-leaning publications that have been killed about her. She's a hypocrite. Her products, they say they're natural. They aren't natural.
I can't vouch for the lip balm. I don't have the lip balm. Yeah, I don't like it.
All I can say is that this woman is hardly someone that we should look up to.
Right. Absolutely.
She's lied about the origins of the Body Shop, which was ripped off from a company in Berkeley that called the Body Shop. So,
right.
I mean, there's an article about a big corporation on the left that was was basically she was protected by left publications. So and
you're
then
saying, you're saying because she gives a bit, you know,
she gives a lot of money.
Left-wing press won't go after.
So it all works the same way as politics. You know, powerful lobbies can shut down the voice of the people,
and the readers will suffer.
Right, shortchange public, in other words.
Well, do you want to hang out and you want to take some calls with us?
Sure, I gladly take some calls.
We're going to solicit some calls. We want to hear from you. 866-303-AAR0 866-303-2270. We'll talk about news stories that killed by money and power. If you know of any stories or you've had experience with this or you just have questions for our guests, please call in here on Air America Radio. We'll put you on the air.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Forty-three past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott, our guest in the studio. David Wallace. The book is
Killed.
Killed.
Great journalism, too hot to print.
We're going to get to your calls right now at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Right now, though, time for countdown to democracy for June 8th. As the deadline for handover power to the Iraqis approaches, we'd like to explore various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. Today's issue is the troops. Leaders of Iraq, when we hand your government back to you, the democracy is yours, but the troops are still ours. France tried to give you control of them, but we trained them. They're ours, and they're staying. As every schoolboy knows, democracy does not work without the underlying threat of violence. But it's not so bad. Just don't use Abu Ghraib as an example of our military. Most of our soldiers don't believe in cruelty. A lot of them just believe in 3 years of vocational training and finding some way to move out of the house. Unlike in Iraq, in our country, armed services usually aren't a career choice you make at age 7. And despite everything our president said, your new democracy won't take root overnight, so try to establish a cordial relationship with our military. They're the ones with the guns. You want them to like you. Good luck and God bless. This is day 22 in our countdown to democracy. Live free or die. David Wallace in studio, taking calls. We got DeLynn in Brooklyn. DeLynn, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
What's up?
Just had a comment about the body shop and the products and everything.
Okay.
I work for the body shop,
uh-huh.
And we don't say the products are all natural because they can't be. There have to be preservatives in them to have a shelf life.
Right.
They're natural-based.
Yes.
I mean, they do.
Is it advertisement for the body shop?
No.
Are you part of the body shop's advertising agency?
The body shop stooge.
No.
You should read the article in Killed. You'll wonder about your own company.
Well, the other thing is she's not really in charge anymore.
Oh.
So that you have no, she hasn't been in charge of the company since about 1991, when the stock kind of holder sort of took over.
So who's in charge now?
Frankly, Satan? I have no idea. I have no
Satan
idea.
Makes beautiful cosmetics.
Rupert Murdoch.
Thank you for your call.
God, no, he's not.
And for your loyalty to your company. But
there are some Satans in the corporate board office probably at the body shop.
Of course. Well, I mean, the people should read the article because I remember that when that was happening.
Yeah. What now?
What is the article about?
Dude? Yeah,
it's a real close look at the deceptive marketing practices of the body shop. There's another article that will really clue in readers to what's going on, which is about how editors protect advertisers today. You know, it used to be that there's a Chinese wall, they called it, between the editorial side and the advertising side. Well, now it's a Chinese fence, and it's a rickety one at
permeable
best.
Permeable.
You could just basically walk right over
yeah.
it. And there's a story from Details Magazine. It was killed by Details Magazine, I guess in the late 90s, a wonderful piece about the rocker John Mellencamp. Now, Mellencamp had a massive heart attack, yet he was still smoking.
Yeah.
I mean, 40, 60 cigarettes a day.
Yeah.
And they sent a reporter to basically smoke with him.
Yeah.
Well, Mellencamp complains bitterly about smoking in the article. And this is a great profile of Mellencamp, and the editors killed it. Why? To protect their tobacco advertisers.
Wow.
And people, look, that happened all the time. Tobacco no longer advertises in magazines and newspapers. But when they did.
Just comic books.
Velvety.
Go ahead.
Velvety coverage.
Yeah, yeah.
Velvety coverage. And some of the editors who killed stories on tobacco.
Yes.
Have blood on their hands.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Tobacco's bad news, man. It's the one regret I have in my life was smoking since I was 14. And I blame me. Judy in Manhattan. Judy?
Hi. I think the theme of your book is wonderful.
Thank
it's incredibly important. But I've got to take issue with you on one of the stories. I know I read about the body shop, and I think it was Mother Jones. So I'm wondering what criteria you used to say that, to determine that a story had been killed. Are you saying that it was supposed to have been in a larger media outlet?
No.
Thanks for your call, Judy.
The story in Killed was commissioned by Vanity Fair. It was killed because of legal reasons. They were afraid that they publish a British edition of the magazine, and they were afraid that under the tough libel laws, the really strict libel laws that really do not protect journalists in England, that they were going to have the article killed, and they were going to be subject to, a massive suit by the body shop's team, a tax dog team of lawyers.
It's so funny that the people that are calling, I just picture women in their bathrooms putting on face cream, body shop yeah. face cream, hearing this in the other room going, what? No.
But David Wallace, when you put together the collection of killed articles in your book, presumably all this was effectively lawyered. You didn't publish anything where there's any kind of question about whether facts were right or not. You legaled everything to death before it went in here.
We vetted and we also fact-checked the unpublished nonfiction
right.
article.
Now, just so people can stop worrying about that.
But was that article that you mentioned about the body shop, could it have been the same article that ended up in Mother Jones?
No.
It's a different article.
It's a different article. There's several stories about the body shop that have been killed over the years.
Okay.
We got a call from somebody who had a story killed. Nan in Florida. What's up, Nan? Tell us about it real quick.
Hi there.
Yeah.
Hi.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay, I hear you now.
Lay it on us.
First of all, I'd like to thank you all for giving some alternative coverage to this damn Reagan thing. I'm so sick of listening to the kudos. But I had a story killed. I work for a major daily in Florida. And I had been working on a story about codependency because I thought it was so damn silly. This was about 6-7 years ago. And Melanie Beatty or whatever her name, that was her name, wasn't it? The woman who was so hot with that stuff.
Yeah.
And she was going around making money, and everybody I knew was going to these codependency things. I thought
everybody's
it was ridiculous.
Codependent. Yeah.
I thought it was ridiculous.
So they killed the story because they didn't want to enable you.
Well, apparently. But my editor knew I was working on it for a month. I went around and I talked to all these psychologists. I was taking it from a feminist viewpoint, and because they thought a lot of feminists I had heard said it was disempowering to women in a way. And I had spoken to a number of them, and my editor knew I was working on this. But apparently it turns out she was going through codependency sessions and to groups. And
too close to home.
See you later.
Yeah, too close to home.
Sayonara, Nan.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that with us, Nan.
Just only about a quarter of readers today, a quarter of Americans, view journalists as trustworthy. That number has plummeted over the years. And this is one of the reasons why. It's because they question whether editors at newspapers and magazines in the mainstream are giving the whole truth or the whole story to the reader. And I think that what this book does, what Killed does, is it clues in readers to the fact that, well, maybe they're not getting half the story, but maybe they're only getting three quarters of the story.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. Killed, great journalism that's too hot to print. This has been David Wallace in the studio.
Thank you.
Go out and buy the book. It sounds really interesting. Thanks for being here, sir. Oh, we'll be back in a minute. Come back. Yeah, Air America.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
Are your glasses or contacts driving you nuts? Have you considered laser vision correction but just aren't sure it's right for you yet? If this sounds like you, then listen to this surprising story from the world's greatest golfer, Tiger Woods.
Hi, this is Tiger Woods. For years, I played golf with an invisible handicap. It was my contact lenses. My eyes would sting, burn, and water, all the while I was trying to concentrate on championship golf.
Then Tiger discovered what he described as a miracle from the doctors at TLC Laser Eye Centers.
I had the LASIK procedure with the TLC Laser Eye Center surgeon, and the results were fabulous.
Imagine being less dependent on glasses and contact lenses.
I'm 20/20 with no contacts. It's unbelievable not to have to deal with the hassles and frustrations of glasses or contacts.
Call 1-800-700-8550 now for all the exciting details, including a free video and complimentary evaluation. Call now to find out more today. 1-800-700-8550. That's 1-800-700-8550.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
We're landing the craft.
Yes.
Here on Morning Edition, Air America Radio. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott. Did I say Air America Radio?
Yes,
Air America Radio, Morning Edition, Air America Radio. So we were talking about a little while ago, not that long ago, about the Republican National Convention here in New York City. Many of the delegates have been given, I guess, forewarning to not go to certain shows.
Be free of sin.
Be free of sin. No gay puppets, no transvestites, no assassins or pedophile child killers.
However.
In Tony Award-winning theater.
However.
Uh-huh.
And this is a big however.
Yeah, what do you got?
A spokesman for SCORES. Now, again, for those of you who don't know about these sorts of sinnings, not that I do, by the way.
But it's a booby bar.
Yes, it is that. People call it other things, but yes, it is one of those establishments where one can go to lap the dance or dance the lap
or get their lap dance.
There you go. Well, they're bragging to local media about the number of advance bookings lined up by some of the very same Republican convention delegates who won't be seeing Avenue Q.
Well, it's a different type of show. You know, these are real people. They're pressing the flesh with
right.
the real folks, not fictional transvestites.
Isn't one a business dinner, honey, and the other one's family night out?
I think so, but I mean, what are they going to do? Be putting reelect Bush buttons on?
Well, there is that weird dichotomy in a certain type of thinking, the NASCAR dad thinking, is that, you uphold some sort of moral sort of stature in the community or in your speech, but they allow certain things, and booby bars, tend to be one of those things that has been sort of mainstreamed and okay somehow
now,
for people.
Now, here's the problem. There have been two stories already about people spending five digits, in other words, tens of thousands of dollars in bars just like this. How long do you think the Republicans will be here before somebody gets exposed for spending that kind of money during the convention?
Well, maybe they'll work it out like Republicans do. They'll spin it. Like, well, the stripper that got that kind of money was a Republican, and she's putting $2,000 of it back into the party.
You know, the place that's going to make the most money at the end of August in New York will be the place with the best air conditioning.
Well, yeah, that and the best sanitation systems. Whoa! Yeah.
I like the momentary guitar riff at the beginning of it.
And
there is the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Get your notebooks and pencils. Here are your marching orders for today. Liberals, one, visit Reagan Library and slip Story of O into the stacks. But wait till next week when the crowds died down. Two, show solidarity with famine victims by living on focaccia bread and mineral water for a day. Three, make sure Tony Award winner puppets of Avenue Q are covered by AFTRA benefits. Four, got four words for you. Surgeon General Tommy Chong. Hello. Five, meet with Hell's Angels representatives to discuss switching from leather to pleather. Come on. Do the right thing. Come on, boys. All right? They'll both take the heat.
Sure.
That's your marching orders. Do with them what you will. I've had a great time with you this morning. Welcome back, Sue Ellicott. Mark Riley, as always, a pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you. My pleather jacket fell apart in the washing machine.
I'm down on pleather jacket?
It said you could wash it on mild, and the darn thing fell apart.
I'm down on pleather. Never believe what they tell you on the inside of those jackets. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, James Bamford tells us about his book, A Pretext for War, 9/11 Iraq, and the Abuse of America's Intelligence Agencies. Plus, sex, much shorter title, and sex talk with sex guide Dr. Drew Pinsky. That's tomorrow's morning's edition with plenty of sex here on Air America Radio.
The Cross Country Tour by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between the first and third tank of gas, between the 32 napkin soda spill, the exit you missed, and the one that you took without even knowing it. Between the big city and, the smell of farm country. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
Call 1-800-800-8000 or visit super8.com. All Super 8 motels are individually owned and operated.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease Lozenges, clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease Lozenges. The short